I actually asked if I could bring Mr. Hughes up to the stage today, and you know, I don't know. In fact, I don't think I've ever told Mr. Hughes this, but 2.5. In fact, it was let's see, August. So it was September or October of 2008. It was my very first Super Saturday. So like this, I'd been in the business for about a month, and it was my first real Super Saturday, I would say. And I came to a Super Saturday, but the night before was a Players Club event. How many people were at the Players Club event last night? Right. What? You can't, right, four of us, that sounds some excitement, right? I was stoked about last night. They're just maybe, it's in the morning time, but I know that me and a few of the leaders from our organization walked out of there different people, and we were kind of chit-chatting about the things that we learned last night, and you really can't take that back. You can't bring that back to anybody. When you miss out, you really miss out. Mr. Jim Rohn said never miss anything. Anyways, 2.5 years ago, I went to a Players Club event, and it was my first Players Club event. And I walk into this room, and I'm thinking, cool, we're going to have dinner. You know, we ate at this Madeline Steakhouse, and I really didn't care too much for the food. I was told this amazing guy was coming in town named Chris Hughes, and I was going to be able to meet him and him and his wife. And so I'm sitting there, and I'm learning. I realized I didn't have a notepad, and I was frustrated. So I'm grabbing paper, and I'm starting to take notes. And as I'm leaving, I remember walking out and telling Shayla, like, man, this is probably the best event I've ever been to in my life. I felt good. I felt ambitious. I felt hopeful for the future, and I don't know if anybody has been to that place where you just, like, you think you're gonna make it. I mean, you kind of say to yourself you're gonna make it, but there's that little thing back there, like, hey, you know that you're still a loser, right? You didn't even graduate high school, you know. I mean, you're gonna do well here, but you know, come on. I mean, and you don't even realize it. It's just deep down there somewhere, and I didn't think I was going to get emotional at all, but I went back into the room because I said, I've got to make sure that this gentleman knows what he did for me. And so I walked back into the room, and there's like a crowd of people around him, maybe like five or six people kind of chatting with him, that they know him and stuff. And I walk out there, I extend my hand, I say, hey, my name's Lucas Hill. I went manager, this is my first month in the business, and I hit Players Club, I was able to come to this event. And he said, you know, wow, started talking with me, and we probably had a 10-minute conversation right there in the room. Now, you have to understand that this man has no financial interest in me whatsoever. He makes no money when I have success. He makes no money when I go out there and market a membership or when I grow. But he sat there and took 10 minutes. Now, let alone, I was stoked that I was in the room with a millionaire. And when you come from that place where nobody in your family was millionaires, nobody in your family made even close to six figures a year. $50,000 a year was noble, right? And I remember when my dad ended up making close to $90,000 a year, we had like this huge celebration 1 year. And so, I mean, to be able to be in the room with a millionaire was just amazing, but then to have him talk to me like I was on the same level that he was gave me so much hope and inspiration. I remember leaving that night, I remember Mr. Burns telling me, hey, Luke, you got to make it to every event, earlier that month, saying, Luke, you got to make it to every event, because at one of these events, you're going to find a golden nugget that you wished, and if you miss the event, you'll never know what that golden nugget was. And so I remember calling him, and I don't know if I left it on your voicemail or if I told you, but I said, man, I think I got that golden nugget. And I had no idea the roller coaster that we were on in prepaid legal, but I just am so grateful for this gentleman. He has so much to do with my success in prepaid legal, and I could put about 80% of the reason why I'm still here today is because of that event that I went to that night. So we're really privileged to have him in the room. Please, ladies and gentlemen, get to your feet and give it up for Millionaire Club member, Mr. Chris Hughes.
All right. So what a talent, huh? I mean, so can you guys get his enthusiasm, his passion? How's it going? one guy, you're feeling me right now, right? You have, in my opinion, you have a real superstar in your midst with Mr. Hill. I mean, really. I was, and let me tell you why I took the time with you then. I've never told you this, and I'll tell you. I was fairly new in prepaid, about a year, and I was at a meeting, and a guy who has made probably $20 million in network marketing came off the stage, came over to me, and told me, he said, what's your name? And I said, Chris Hughes. Where are you from? Fort Worth, Texas. And whose team are you on? How long have you been in the business? And he said to me, you're going to be really big in prepaid legal. And I'm like, oh, you know, shucks. And, you know, I just thought he was pumping me up. And he goes, no, look at me. I really mean it. You're going to be really, really big in prepaid legal. And I wasn't making any money at the time. And I don't know why he said that or what that was all about, but you know, some good things have happened to us in prepaid legal. And every now and again, as a talent scout, and that's really what we become at six-figure ring earners and above, is you can see people in the audience who are different. Not better, not worse, they're just different, and they have a way about them. And I don't know if that's what the guy who pulled me out of the crowd, I don't know if that's what he saw in me or what, but that's what I saw in Mr. Hill. Mr. Hill, if you know his story, I mean, he was coming. Is that me? I don't know what that is. Can you guys hear that buzz? Oh, is it air conditioning? No. Let's sue him and get our money back for the room. So. That's good. You know, you're rough and tumble, Luke, right? I mean, and he's coming from a low place in life, and I can relate to that. And, you know, so I predict really even greater things for him and for many of you in the room. And really, if I've signed anything, some of you said, hey, sign my book, and that still takes some getting used to, right? Some of you are having that experience. And I always write the same thing. You can... your choice, Chris. Because you can. You can have whatever you want, but it's your choice. And it's not just choosing to, you know, I'm going to do this. I'm going to go all the way to the top. That's not the choice. That's the easiest choice to make. You can do that in a fleeting moment. The real choice is, are you going to go to the business briefing every single week, even when you're sick of it? The real choice is, are you going to laugh at Dave Hall's jokes every single time when he uses the same jokes over and over and over? That's your choice. Are you going to have a good attitude when your number one person quits your business? See, that's your choice. Are you going to get dressed up or stay casual? That's your choice. Are you going to read the book today, the good book today? You know, a good book today? Are you going to listen to something positive today? Or are you just going to let another day go by without getting better? Are you going to provide more value today or not? These are all your choices. And life is a gajillion choices. And the reason most people fail in life is because they won't make the right choice long enough in their life to get some traction. So is there something different about Mr. Hill? In my opinion, yes. I've gotten to know him. I haven't gotten to know many of you. But there doesn't have to be something special or different or odd or favorable about you to have success. You've just got to make some decisions. A decision. Remember I said this is going to be intense? Remember I told you that earlier? I'm on my way. You ready? Okay. Decision comes from the Latin root decidere, which means to cut from, to sever. So if you're really going to make a decision, you've got to cut yourself from mediocrity. You've got to cut yourself from the old ways. You've got to separate yourself from poverty and ignorance and being idle and watching television and gossiping and trash talking and being disrespectful. You've got to separate yourself from all of that. And it is a decision that you make every single day. And all day long in your prepaid legal businesses and in life, in relationships, in raising children, there's choice after choice after choice. And if you make the wrong choice, and all of us have, you can become devastated. If you might make the right choice, there may not be a party by making that right choice. You know, you can make one wrong choice and lose it all, yes? You can make one right choice during the course of the day and nobody pats you on the back. Nobody even acknowledges it. But a lifetime of good decisions strung all together, you can get whatever you want, but you have to decide. So you can, your choice. It's totally, totally up to you. I didn't have this in my notes, but I'll give it to you. What you must do from this early day, especially our new people in the room, is you've got to make a decision first and foremost. A decision for what? I mean, I decided in the very early days of my business that I would go platinum. And here's how that story came. My brother Jeff and I are rocking together in my porch swing. bolted into the rafters of this old house built in 1927. There's a big gap between the front porch and the door. And because it was separating and cracking, and the rafters were, I don't know what the word is, but the wood was disintegrating. And what do you call that? There's probably a better word for that. Yeah, it was rotting. It was old wood. But so as we're swinging, there's dust falling on our head from the wood up there. And it's about 11 o'clock at night, and I live in this unsafe neighborhood. And we're rocking back and forth, and neither one of us had been paid in prepaid legal. Neither one of us had gotten a paycheck. We're in, we haven't gotten a paycheck. And he said, how long are you going to stay in prepaid? And I said, until I'm platinum. And that was the highest level there was in the comp plan back then. And I said, what about you? And he said, platinum. Are we going to do this? We're going to do it. And he said to me, you're platinum. And I said, oh man, you're platinum. And he goes, no, you're platinum. You're platinum. And he hits me on the shoulder and I hit him. And for some reason, like it was orchestrated, we got off the swing and we just gripped each other and just gave each other a big hug. And we both, two grown men in the ghetto, cried on each other's shoulders. And we hadn't been paid. And we made a decision then together that we would go to the top in prepaid legal. And we wouldn't quit no matter what. So that was a decision for us. And it came very early. And I think maybe the challenge for many of you is you've not made that decision. You perhaps think you have, but maybe I would suggest maybe you haven't. And some of you have. But following the decision is what's called commitment. And commitment, I think the best definition of commitment we get from Mr. Jeff Olson, who teaches that commitment is doing the thing you said you would do long after the spirit in which you said it in has passed. In other words, it's so easy for us to come here, come to this prepaid rally, pinkies in the air, kumbaya, you know, prepaid legal for life. And then you go out there and somebody tells you no, and now you're doubting every decision that you'd made to prepaid legal. And this is what happens. I've seen it over the years. I call them, you know, peekaboo associates. Peekaboo associates. They're in and then they're out. And then it's like, peekaboo, I'm back. You know, and then they're out again. And then it's peekaboo, you know, I'm back. And then they're out again. And these are people, and I know life gets in the way and we have, you know, health challenges and there's things that happen. But if this were a McDonald's, if this were a traditional business, you don't have that luxury to play peekaboo, do you? Imagine if you played peekaboo on your $1.6 million McDonald's investment. You didn't show up for 6 months. What's the status of your McDonald's? Can you imagine leaving the teenagers running your McDonald's for 6 months and you don't even stop by? But people think it's all of us. It's okay here because it's not a real business, is what some people think. I don't know what real is, but I make way more than a McDonald's owner does. Way more. Like 2 to 3 times more. From home. Retired. That's a real business. And please forgive me if that sounded cocky or arrogant, but I'm trying to get you to understand this is a real business, way more powerful than any business you've probably been a part of. My brother Dave, a few months back, he became a part owner in a print shop. It was mail and copy, Loveland, Colorado. Disaster. He's out already. Disaster. That investment, they got a steal, I think, total 30, 40 grand. It was a nightmare from day one. And here we have this opportunity where we get to hang out with cool people. We get to go to really fun presentations. We get to hear trainings like this that hopefully will have a positive influence, positive impact on our life. We get to go up through these levels and get recognized, right? Some people are like, oh, I hate all the clapping. Well, that's because no one's clapping for you. I'm telling you, you can hate clapping with a passion. But when you're up here as an executive director, that's some clapping you'll fall in love with. I promise you that. And if you don't like the clapping, you'll love the bank account. You'll love the money that you're making. Guy came with me, he goes, can we skip this part? I can't stand this. You do it every week. Look, I didn't see you walk the stage tonight, did I? No, I didn't walk the stage. Did anybody on your team walk the stage? No. Well, let me tell you something. When you and your team are walking the stage, you're going to fall in love with what we've been doing every single week. You'll fall in love with it. And that's a cool thing, that we can come here and get recognized for baby steps, for every little level that we make. So going back, you got to make that commitment. Everybody got that? Decision and then a commitment. A commitment is... Can I just be real honest? So many people are weak. They're just weak. They're little wimps. They are. It's like you've got an opportunity to do whatever you want. Are you going to make billions in prepaid legal? No. If you have billions ambition, then prepaid is probably not the right track, the right business for you. If you have ambitions to be a mother, this is a good track for you. If you have ambitions to be a father, spend time with the grandkids, travel the world, do a mission trip, build a ministry, relieve some suffering, feed the hungry, feel good about yourself, this is a good track for you. It's a good track for you. And I don't get it. People come here and they're so jacked. I mean, they get dressed up and they polish their shoes and they even brush their teeth. And they come in here and they're just, oh, I'm going to make you so much money and this is going to be awesome. And then 3 weeks later, where are they? Like, what happened to you? See, they get pumped up. But somewhere they've got a hole in their character that doesn't hold the air. And they're out of here. And I want to challenge you early on, even before I get into the good stuff. When you say you're in, be in. Not for us, for you. People have apologized to me over the years for quitting. I'm like, look, don't apologize to me. Go look in the mirror. You're the one who went back on your word to yourself. Who cares about me? You know, and I'm not trying to guilt anybody into staying in prepaid or building it big in prepaid. I'm trying to get you to understand this is not... I'm going to talk very little about prepaid legal, and here's why. Because it ain't about prepaid legal. It's about you. We already talked about prepaid legal. I did the business presentation, and that's the prepaid legal part. The rest of this is the you part. Why would you care about prepaid legal if you took you out of the picture? Anybody got a good answer for that? You wouldn't. You don't. The only reason you care about prepaid legal is because of the potential that it has to make your life better. And if we take you out of the picture, then who cares about prepaid legal? What they're doing, how they're doing. So today, this message is very personal. I want this to be very personal for you. So have you made a decision? Have you really, truly separated yourself from the possibility of retreat? Have you really, truly separated yourself from continuing a mediocre life? Some of you hear that and say, hey, my life's not mediocre. I'm making tons of money. Okay, well, how much free time do you have? How's your health? How's your family? Have you really, truly made a decision to separate yourself from a mediocre life, a mediocre family life, what have you? And then the next thing is are you really committed? Will you really be here a year from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 20 years from now? And if you've got that, you're in a good spot. You're in a really good spot. All right, so that was a bonus, not in my notes. I want to talk about the comp plan. I'm going to talk about network marketing, and then I'm going to talk about you. Is that all right? So we're going to do for the balance of today. Here's what was happening over the last several years in prepaid legal. You get started. You're so happy because you want to make some money. And we talk about leverage and how you can recruit people and make some money, okay? So you go out there and let's say you build a little business and you now become a manager. And you're so excited. And let's say the person above you was a manager. Now, how much money is the person above you making from you and your organization? $0. So what did the person... Now what's the person above you doing? they're building another leg. So the person above you has gone over here, started a new leg so that they can make some money. Were you ready to be set free yet? You've been in the business a week or two. So now you're on your own. You're not a leader. You don't even know what a leader looks like because a leader didn't spend any time with you. And you're trying to lead this organization. So you do what you're told. And you do a few PBRs, right? And these people become managers. Now you're a director. And you may not even be able to spell it. I mean, director, when I came in the business, it was like, you know, you're a director. An executive director was like, I mean, just, if you're executive director, you made six figures. That's the way it was back then. Now we have executive directors that, you know, are making less than they did when they were flipping burgers because the compensation plan's not right. And we've been working on this for a very long time. So this person's now a director, and this is maybe advanced for some of you, but in order to hit that top level of executive director, you need 75 memberships. You need three directors and 75 memberships. You're now a director, so now you're wanting to help these people go director, but there's just a little bit of overrides, $34 in there, not a lot of money. You go, you spend your entire evening doing a private business reception. Only one person signs up. You only made $34. Sometimes it's easier for people to just stay at home. Just stay at home. So what you're probably going to do is do exactly what your upline did to you, go out here, start another team so that you can make a little bit more money. Meanwhile, these people don't have the leadership that they want, and this is what's been happening. So these people quit because they're not getting leadership and direction, so this person quits and this person quits. And by the way, I didn't come here to give y'all fluff. I came here to tell you the truth. Is that okay? And this is the truth. This is not the way it was when I came in. This is the way they changed it. It's been a challenge for a few years, and they've corrected it. Okay, so now let me show you why all of you want to be a manager or above, at least a manager, by May 1st. You want to see this? Because now the building structure is totally different. All right, so you are a manager. Make how much money? 172. And you've got your little team over here, okay? Now, starting May 1st, y'all tell me, what are y'all going to do on May 1st, managers and above? You're going to start a new line, right? Now, why are you going to start a new line? Because you make money. Now, the way the old comp plan used to be is, here you are, you recruit three people who sold three memberships and got one recruit. Is that right, everybody? Leaders, does that look right? So six people and you're a manager. It's like you don't know nothing and you're a manager. So the upline up here, manager up here, could only made six overrides off this team on its way to manager. Six! And now they're a manager. Now this person's getting the money and this person's not making any money. That was it. You could go manager with six people. Now, under the new plan, you're a manager, you get a new person started. Back in the old day, we taught structure. Structure means put one here, here, and here, and then put one here, here, and here, and you're going to go manager. We taught how to put the puzzle piece together. Under the new comp plan, we're not teaching structure anymore because you don't have to. You don't have to teach structure because now what it takes for this person to go manager is they need three senior legs. And let's just say you built it all out and they're a senior. They're senior, senior, senior. Leaders pop quiz, what is this person? Senior. They're not a manager. That's the way it used to be. But under the new compensation plan, it's three seniors plus 100 organizational sales. So just look at the difference. You were getting six overrides per manager before, and now you're getting a minimum of 100 overrides as a manager. So the reason why you want to be a manager is so you start out with a head start. You're a manager. No one's going to catch you for 100 sales. Kicking off cash flow, 100 sales, 100 sales, 100 sales. Back in the day, we never knew when somebody was going to put their structure together. They could do it in a day. I could recruit him And in 24 hours, he could be a manager. And I'm like, ugh. You know, you want to be excited when your team promotes, but you weren't. You wanted to punch them in the face. You know, because they got all your overrides. If you're a manager, someone goes manager, like, oh, I didn't even get to override that thing. 24 hours I made money, and now it's all gone. Right? It's demoralizing. And it's like, Ryan's my friend. I want to work with Ryan. Let's say he's my best friend, but I can't work with him because he's a manager. I'm a manager. I got to go start a new leg. He's like, hey, Chris, come help me over here. I'm like, dude, you got all my money. I got to work over here. I'm just being real. These are some real challenges that we've been facing. So you want to be a manager because you can have a head start. Here you are as a manager. You can start just one leg on May 1st, and your first recruit goes there. Where does your second recruit go? Underneath. Where does your third recruit go? Underneath. Your fourth. And you go, and no one's going to sneak up on you and go, manager. You can watch it in your back office. They have 31 sales in that organization, right? Now they have 42 sales in that organization. You can track it. You can plan your finances. You can plan it out now. Whereas before it was, you know, just overnight, magically, you got a manager. You couldn't plan for that. So now as this organization starts maturing, you have 75 memberships that have come out of this organization. There's 3 seniors in this organization. What do they need to go manager now? No, they have 75. They need 25 more sales in that organization. Now might be a good time to get another leg going. See how that works? And so when this leg, you know, by the time this leg closes off, we call that closes off or whatever, it's not open anymore, you now have a new leg and you're growing it. So the magic, though, is not the money. The magic of this is the leadership. You got a manager up here who can really spend time with this individual down here. What you're really going to see is, that I don't have room for, is an executive director up here who's spending tons of time down here. Because executive director now, it's insane how long they're going to override this leg. I'm going to show you just for kicks and giggles. All right. So if you're not yet a manager, raise your hands. Not yet a manager. Okay, leave them up if you're going to become a manager by May 1st, by April 29th. Okay, very good. So do that. All right, so now it really gets fun at director. Okay, at director, the qualifications of a director are you need 3 manager legs. Okay? Now, what does it take to become a manager? 3 senior legs and 100 sales. 100. Let's say you are this person's, let's call them a manager. You're a director. This person, it is impossible for this person to hit your level without 100, 100, and 100. It's impossible. So if you start someone out today in a new leg and you build that leg straight down, the minimum number of overrides you're going to get off that leg is 300 compared today of like 20 or 30. So that's at director. But watch this. You guys can, directors, y'all can create a machine. I mean, you can change your whole life by doing this. You're a director. You have your old business over here, whatever it is. And by the way, we don't abandon these people. People are like, well, what about us? If you're going to start a new leg, what about me? Look, I'm not going anywhere. You know, I'm just going to be putting my recruits over here. My love and my attention, I'll still be helping you. But my recruits are going over here in this new leg. So you're a director. Somebody give me the math. What is it? You're overriding on that leg. No, it's a brand new leg. How much is it? I think it's more than that, isn't it? As a director? No, it's 35, 35, 35, 35, right? 138? Okay. So you got a new person. They go out and do their first PBR. They get a recruit and a member. Okay? You just made $138. Now you go out with this person and do a PBR. This person goes out and does a PBR, gets 2 recruits and 2 members. You just made, how much is it? You just made about $280. Okay, you go out and you get your next recruit. Where's your next recruit going? Straight down here. You go down here and do a PBR. They get two recruits. That's another $280 coming up to you. Money. Okay, let's say somebody down here goes senior. Now what's your override? 103? Let's skip it. Let's go to senior. Okay, $70. So now you got a senior down here. Where's your next recruit go? Down here. Okay, they do a PBR. $140. And by the way, you got PBRs going on up here. You got business coming in. Every time there's anytime something happens up here, it's $138. Anything happens down here, it's $70. And you are a director, you're driving this leg, and all of these overrides are going to keep coming up. Even when there's a manager, you're still going to have overrides coming up for a minimum of 300 sales. So it's a ton of cash. I don't have the comparative numbers, but I think it was like taking a director to a director. It was like $1,600 under the old plan. Under the new plan, now it's $16,000. So executives, you take a new person from zero to director. What is it? Y'all remember what it is? It's about 30 or 40 grand. We were making maybe 2 grand before. Now you're making 30 or 40 grand taking a new person to director. It's outrageous. Now let me show you why our executives and why you all want to build as fast as you can and get to the executive director level. Because of what's going to happen for the executives. Now starting, let's say someone starts May 1st and they go an executive director. Okay, they want to go executive director. They're a director. And what do they need to go executive? Three director sale or legs and 75 memberships in a month. No more than 25 per leg can count towards the 75. To become a director, what do they need? They need three managers and 300 sales. My brother David just popped a brand new executive in Colorado, and he has 450 lifetime organizational sales. So he started whenever a couple years ago. He's been building his business. His business has produced 450 memberships, and now he's an executive director. So in other words, Dave overrode that organization for 450 sales as an executive. Does that make sense to everybody? Now this guy's an executive. Under the new plan, the minimum is 900 sales. But watch this. That's if this person can build three manager legs just in the right spot with 100 here and 100 here and 100 here. And this other person, totally separate from this person, has to build three manager legs with 100 sales here, 100 sales here, and 100 sales here. And this person, totally separate from these two people, has to build three manager legs with 100 sales here and 100 sales here and 100 sales here for a total of 900 sales. But here's the good news. I mean, this is great news, but it's even better. This is never going to happen. I mean, it'll happen, but it's not going to happen. It's not going to look like this. It's going to happen. There's more like going to be like in my business. I had a runaway leg that had hundreds of sales in it before I ever built my other two legs. So what's really going to happen, executives? This is just for the executives. Y'all just let me give them something to salivate over for just a minute, and then I'll. What this is really going to look like is it's probably going to be more like 2,000 sales that you're going to override before there's ever new executive directors in your organization. It's a six-figure income. It's a six-figure income. And some people will look at this and go, well, what are you trying to do? Hold people down? Hold people back? No, we're trying to create leadership. We want everybody to go to the executive level. But we have executive directors in prepaid legal that can't tie their shoes. I mean, really, they don't have an ounce of leadership in them. It's frustrating for me because I see them, they get the pin, they get the recognition, and I know how this is going to play out for most of them. You know, they're going to stop qualifying, and then they're going to get their feelings hurt, and they're going to go away. And they're going to blame prepaid legal for all their problems. It's like, no, look, you were given a title and some prestige that you hadn't really earned yet. You know, you earned it in the comp plan, but you didn't earn it with stripes on your back. You didn't go to war for that. You know, you just hit a level. And so what this is going to do is, by the time you're an executive director in prepaid legal, you will have had thousands of sales run through your organization. And here's the question. Would your organization be more mature if you had 450 inception-to-date sales or 2,000 inception-to-date sales? Well, we all know the answer. You know what people here are doing at the last day of the month? They're begging family members for memberships. They're playing all kinds of funny games, trying to get their 75. Executive directors over here are going to be qualifying on the 15th of the month, the 20th of the month. I mean, I qualify as executive director because I built under this old comp plan. We built it strong. And by the time I emerged as an executive, I didn't just have a title. I had leadership. I had public speaking ability. I had motivational ability. I had communication ability. I had the ability to get all a bunch of volunteers to work together. I had an ability to recognize and aspire and inspire. Right now, we're popping these executive directors that they don't have that skill set. And believe me, you don't want the title. You want the asset. The asset is not the title. The asset is who you become. You want to become a leader who can, you know, have unlimited potential in prepaid legal. Titles don't pay the bills. Titles don't pay the bills. So, last thing I'll share with you is this, because I know we have some young executives in the room, and I want to talk to you for just a moment, and then we're going to get into some really good stuff. We have an executive director. I'll just use this lady on my team. She's an executive director, and because the comp plan's become so watered down, she only has one director leg. Okay? And you could qualify with 45 sales under the, you know, last month, right? So she could have 25 sales in one leg, 20 sales in another leg, and she's an executive director. And she's worried about qualifying for executive once all the new comp plan kicks in. She's like, I can't build two more director legs at 300 sales each. I mean, it's six managers, 100 sales in each leg. I can't do that. And this is what I said to her. And by the way, we have executives in this room that have made over $50,000 a month. So we have baby execs that are, you know, $1,000, $2,000 a month. We have people in prepaid that are making $250,000 a month at the executive level. Okay, so I don't want you to think that there's no money at the executive level, because there absolutely is. But at the newer executive director, there's some challenges there. So I asked this woman, I said, you're an executive director right now, aren't you? She said, yes. And you're worried about making the transition? She said, yes. So, but you're qualified right now? Yes. How much money did you make last month as an executive director? Answer, $1,500. I said, are you paying your bills? She said, no. And I said, who cares about executive director then? Why? You're an executive now. You're not paying your bills. So this is what I told her, and this is what I tell any leaders that may fall into this category. On May 1st, you go start a new leg. Let's say, worst case scenario, you fall back to director. By the way, for the new people, all positions are permanent up through director. Everything beyond director, you have to qualify for. So once you hit a level, you're never going to fall backwards up through director. I said, go start a new leg. And here's the promise I make to her and the promise I make to you, those of you that will get busy. I said, you just start building this thing straight down. And I said, and I promise you, within 60 days, you will be making more money on this one leg than you ever did on your entire executive director business combined. Combined. Because we've been so fixated on levels, ED, go ED. And nobody's focused on the money. I mean, you've seen it, George. A lot of us have been in the business for a long time. Here's what happened to my family. We get started. Tony Hughes made six figures in 1 year. Okay? Jeff Hughes made six figures in 2 years. Chris Hughes and Dave Hall made six figures in 3 years, a little under 3 years. Dave Hughes made six figures in 4 years. Oh, and also Bud, our buddy Bud, made six figures in 2 years. So within 4 years, we're like the superstars in prepaid legal. You know, I mean, there's like all this success, but it's happening other places as well. Our team wasn't isolated. There's other people that are having the success. And so we've had this experience over the years. People have wondered, like, did you guys get a deal? You know, like the Hughes family, did you guys get some of a, kind of a deal? Because for several years beyond this, there were no six-figure ring runners on our team. We created some during the Ryan Burns, Brandon Samaniego era, where they fixed the comp plan for a season. So down here we've got Ryan and we've got Brandon. Okay, I can't do that. Ryan and Brandon, right down here. Well, what was going on right here? And then there's no executives underneath them. What's the challenge with that era and that era? Answer: broken comp plan. We didn't have a deal. Here was the deal: go exec, make six figures. That was the deal. Down here, for a little season, go exec, make six figures. And that opportunity wasn't available here, and it's not presently available now. But starting May 1st, it's available for every single one of you. Better than ever. Like, we have executive directors in the company, been executive director for 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years that didn't really bust it out during this season. It was just a little short window. They didn't bust it out here. And it was, like, impossible. Like, when we were new, if you're an executive director for, 3 years tops, you were making $150,000 a year in prepaid legal. And we have, like, these lifetime executives. They're just ED forever, but they're not, you know, they make $3,000 a month or something. So I'm really excited, if y'all can't tell, about what's coming, and it's good news, and it's good news for all of you. So bare minimum senior associate. As a senior, you make good money. It's a $70 override on a new team. So you got to at least go senior this month. And what does that take? 3-1? 3-1. That's it. Share 3 memberships, 1 recruit, you're a senior. Yeah, next month it's 12? Yeah, next month it's 12 people to go senior. And while your new people are putting together their 12, guess who's getting the overrides? You are. Yeah, you're getting all those overrides. All right. I want to talk about MidOcean, our new owners, for just a minute. 30 people were flown into Dallas, Texas about 2 months ago. We got to meet Rip Mason, Alan Fernley, the Franks, and there's two Franks, Frank Schiff and Frank, Zielinski. And it was very different, I got to tell you. We flew in, I expected to see Mark Brown, who's our current CEO. I expected to see Harlan Stone Cypher. You know, in my mind, I saw Harlan saying, hey, welcome out. These are the new boys in town, and they're great guys, and you're going to love them. We'd never met them before. The merger had just been announced, and we go into this room, and Rip Mason, who will be our new CEO post-merger, is running the show. I was like, wow, this is different. He's like, hey guys, how's it going? We're so glad you're here. I'm Rip Mason. I'll be the CEO post-merger. And we're like, what? I mean, nobody had ever told us anything about that. So that kind of blew us away. And the longer these guys talked, the more I fell in love. I all of us, especially those of you that make that ring the bell in prepaid legal, that make this thing really hum, we will always love Mr. Stone Cypher. We will always honor Mr. Stone Cypher. Mr. Stone Cypher made me. He saved my life. I was in the deepest abyss of despair when he found me through a videotape. And so that will never go away. Some people are like, oh, Harlan, you know, and here's the reality about Harlan, Mr. Stone Cypher. Mr. Stone Cypher had a skill set that I think very few people in the world had. And that skill set was tenacity and sacrifice. Very few of us would be willing to fight the American Bar Association. He fought and he won. Very few of us would be willing to fight insurance commissioners that are trying to put you out of business in 12 different states. But he fought and he won. Very few of us, when we can't make payroll, would sell everything in our house so that our employees never miss a paycheck. But Mr. Stone Cypher did. And what we experience is, if anybody else, I think as much as I love Mr. Jeff Olson and his and respect his network marketing ability and his leadership ability and all that, I don't believe that he or probably anyone else in this company could have done what Mr. Stonecipher would have done. Mr. Stonecipher has a depth of character and an integrity that very, very few people have or will ever have. And it took a Mr. Stonecipher to take the company from zero to about $500 million a year and about 1.5 memberships. The challenge with this is we've been at about 1.5 million memberships for years, and we've been at about 400 to 500 million a year for years. And Mr. Stonecipher now has this dream to build a church. He wants to build a church. They lost their son, their daughter-in-law, and their granddaughter in a tragic airplane accident several years ago. And that was, I can't even imagine the blow that was for his family. And so today he wants to build this church that will be a memorial that grieving parents can come and worship in this church and think about and give reverence to and pay homage to their children who have passed. So any mother and father who have outlived their children, especially children who die in infancy or die as children, that's what this church is about. And like now that's their mission. But he doesn't want to just let prepaid legal do whatever prepaid legal is going to do. He wants prepaid legal to go on to billions of dollars. Well, how are you going to do that? I think the best way to take prepaid legal to billions of dollars is sell the company to people who have taken other companies to billions of dollars. Doesn't that just make sense? And that's what they did. So here's some things that I loved. Alan Fernley. How many of y'all saw him at convention? Didn't you just want to squeeze him? I mean, it's like, he has this British accent, and I'm like, just whatever you do, just don't stop talking, you know, because I love listening. He's so funny, and he's kind of scattered and just, you know, running around like 100 miles an hour. And we all fell in love with him, didn't we? Those of you that, I mean, you love the guy. Well, here's what some of you may not know about Alan Fernley. Alan Fernley is a marketing savant. He's like a genius. And he got hired many, many years ago for Amway Europe, or not Amway, Avon Europe. They brought him in to run the marketing and the branding. Now, I'll just tell you a couple of cute stories. I shared these last night with the leaders. When he took over this position, they wanted to run a contest. They wanted to get lipstick to become more popular in the UK, Avon lipstick. At the time, Avon, if my memory is correct, Avon was doing about 17% market share in the UK. That's outrageous, isn't it? One company owns 17% of the lipstick market in the UK. Well, Alan comes on board. They hire him specifically to drive the numbers through the roof. Well, he tells them, look, I'm really good, so you need to get ready. Like, you better manufacture some lipstick like you've never manufactured lipstick. Oh, yeah, we got this. You just do what we hired you to do. So he does the marketing and the branding. And by the way, they're doing all this for prepaid legal right now. They're getting people in focus groups, and they're putting different colors in front of them and different logos in front of them and different fonts in front of them and perhaps different videos in front of them and different websites in front of them. And they're watching these people and they're studying them and they're seeing where their heart rate increases and what makes them tick, what makes gets their juices flowing. They're scientifically working on all this right now. By the way, prepaid's 39 years old. We've never done that in 39 years. So that's what they're working on right now. Well, that's what he did with Avon Europe. And he told them, I'm ready to go. Are you ready for what I'm about to do to you? And they said, we're ready. Just push the button already. Well, they started this promotion, pushed a button, and almost overnight, every warehouse was drained of lipstick. Every factory was behind, and all the Avon women were ticked off. Because the company couldn't keep up with Mr. Fernley. With another organization, they had some stuffed animal promotion. And Alan said, look, I'm good. Are you ready for what I'm about to do to you? They're like, we're ready. And he pushes the button, has this promo contest thing going, does all the marketing and the branding, gets all the materials out there, go. And almost overnight, they're out of this animal and everybody's ticked off. They have to rent a jumbo jet and fly it to China, where they pick up thousands of these stuffed animals. They fly the jumbo jet to Tokyo, where they have other smaller jets waiting. they unload and they fill up all these smaller jets and they're flying them into the different places of the world so that they can meet the demand. The guy is so good, he's dangerous. And one of the reasons they bought prepaid legal is because we don't have warehouses full of stuff. They bought prepaid legal because we're scalable. And in business, if you can come in and buy a company that's scalable, meaning you can grow it as big as you want to grow it, and you're not going to have growing pains, that's what you want, especially when you're investing over $500 million to buy the joint. So they're doing research, and they're talking to some of us leaders, and they say, hey, how many people could you handle realistically? Do you know the answer to that question? Unlimited. I can lead 5 billion people because I have conference calls. I don't have to go see them all. We have webinars. We have weekly meetings all across North America. I don't have to babysit them all. My people in Idaho, they go to the meetings in Idaho. My people in California, they go to the meetings in California. We're scalable. If we fill up this room, what do? We get a bigger one. How hard is that? It's signing your name on another contract. That's as hard as it is. Everything in prepaid legal is scalable. The home office is scalable. They have empty desks waiting to hire the onslaught of people that we're going to have to hire to handle what's getting ready to happen. They go and they talk to the law firm in Southern California. They say, how many members do you have? 200,000. If you could wave a magic wand, what would you want? More members. That's all you would ask for? More members. How many more members could your facility handle? Answer, as many as you can bring us. So this is what they're finding out when they're out there researching. They're thinking, my gosh, this whole thing is scalable. We don't have 100,000 square feet of juice and pills and all. There's so many variables that could get messed up. And the only thing that we're producing right now, really, as a company, is the associate kits, right? So all they've got to do is just make 1 million of those and then push the button and we're ready to rock. That's all we need. That's all we need to do. So Mr. Fernley, a couple cool things that Mr. Fernley said. He said, my job, and I wish I could do his accent because it's just not the same without his accent. But he says, my job is to make you look brilliant, all of you, to look very brilliant and to make you very, very rich. That's my job. That's it. He goes, that's my job. He's like, I don't want you to worry about all the stuff you've been worrying about. I'm going to do that. You're going to be able to take this to your teams, and you're going to look brilliant. And I got one major focus to make you all very, very, very rich. That's what he said. And I'm like, I like this guy, you know? I like this guy a lot. So the branding matters. This is another reason why I like Alan so much. As he got up there in his funny little British accent, he said, he was mocking, like, our marketing material. You know, I mean, as good as it is, we got some good tools and stuff. But he said, you know, I know prepaid legal started in 1972, but it looks like your marketing got started in about 52. And I'm like, yes, because this is one of those things. It's like, if prepaid legal wasn't the real deal, you know, there's some things that are not perfect. I'm here to tell you the truth, right? I didn't come here to give you fluff and lie to you. There's some things that aren't perfect. And there's some things that we've really struggled with over the years. But because we're real, if this was a vitamin, lotion, potion, pill company, we wouldn't be here. It'd be toast because of some of the challenges we've had over the years. But because we have a real product that brings real value, even though we don't have our marketing together and our branding, we're still here. And we're all still making money. And this is what Alan said. Alan said, I have 11 pieces of prepaid legal material, brochures, applications, videos, websites, and he says, and all of them look like they were designed by a different person in a different era. I mean, you guys can hear this, right? And he's, guy's a stud. I mean, he's so awesome. And he gets it, and he's not afraid to step on toes. He just is here to make money. They're here to make their $650 million back. And you know what they said? They said they understand how to make money. The best way for them to make money is help us make money. Because if we're making money, they're making money. So he said that their goal, one of his major goals as the new, he's going to be our new president and chief commercial officer, I believe. His goal is to have every single person who ever touches or is touched by prepaid legal to leave a better person. We may not be able to recruit them all, we may not be able to retain them all, but we can have them leave a better person. And that's his goal. And they're reaching out to past members, interviewing them, finding out what the problem was. They're reaching out to current members, finding out what the weaknesses are in the membership and what frustrates you about prepaid legal. If you could change everything, where would you start? These are the questions that they're asking thousands of past members and current members. The first thing they did is they interviewed the top 100 and I think 150 or 2 whatever it was, top people in the company. And there's really extensive survey. And we sent them all back. And they bring in this guy, Frank Zawinski. I have trouble with his last name. And Frank Zawinski, we were all in this meeting together. And Frank has all the answers compiled. And he has them broken down into categories and subcategories. And I'm like, wow. It's like they got in my head. You know, and they got all my, you know, concerns or the things I love, the things I don't love. They got them all on paper. Then he took a bunch of us and he started asking us, what's the major issue in the company? Okay, it's this. Why? Well, because of this. He's writing it down. Why? Well, because of this. Why? Because of this. Why? Because of this. And you know what we came down to? All the perceived challenges, real or imagined, all the perceived limitations of this company, real or imagined, came down to one word. And we were all talking comp plan. We're all like, comp plan, comp plan, comp plan, comp plan. Well, after we went through, this guy was driving through every single one of us. Why, getting to the root cause. You know what we came down to? Here it is. That's what it came down to. And you know, that this is not to take anything away from anyone who is in the company or who has been in the company. But what it came down to was leadership. And what we have in this merger acquisition is we have a different flavor, a different sauce of leaders who have been there, done that, taken companies to billions, multi-billions. So, you know, so I said this, Mr. Stonecipher had a skill set that no one else could have done what Mr. Stonecipher has done. And now we just brought on partners who will take what Mr. Stonecipher has done that no other human being could have done, in my opinion. People tried to do this, by the way, and they failed. Montgomery Ward's tried to do a prepaid legal plan and they failed back in the day when there was a Montgomery Ward's. And now what we have is we have a leadership that will take us to billions of dollars. That's what we have. And what I love about these guys is they said, listen, we interviewed all of you, we've drilled through all of you, and here's what we found. Even some of you, some of the leaders, y'all know how it is, you can't please everybody, right? Some of the leaders were happy, some of the leaders not so happy. And where was I going with that? What they came down to is they said, everything we talk about in this room is based upon the premise of positive intent. So don't, you know, anything I've said here today, if it rubbed you the wrong way, or, oh, you shouldn't have said it that way, all this is said with positive intent. Meaning, we don't care about feelings and, you know, bruising people's toes. All we care about is growing this company. So everything that I've said and everything that was said in that room was with positive intent. We all have the same goal, to take prepaid legal to billions of dollars. And you're all here now before Alan Fernley pushes the button. So, pretty cool. Okay, how are we doing on time? All right, I'm going to teach you network marketing in 10 minutes. You ready? All right. Prepaid legal. When you walk through the prepaid legal door, the door opens. You've got a few opportunities. You can do group marketing. You can do small business. This is selling to companies, okay, employee benefits. Small business, selling to small business owners. You can do direct sales where you're just selling to anyone, could be your neighbor, could be small business, could be group, whatever. Direct sales. You've got, you know, and there's some other categories. We've got commercial driver's plans, and we've got plans for teachers, don't we? Then there's a bunch of subcategories over here. But then you also have business builders. Okay? Now, if Bill Gates would have just sold, all he did was sell, would you know his name? No. Because that's not building a business. That's selling. That's exchanging time for dollars. Okay? You sell, you make money. What Bill Gates did is Bill Gates began to build a business. Bill talked to five of his good friends. Two said, Billy, you're an idiot. Three of them became multi-billionaires with Bill Gates. So he had a business. He didn't go set up at a kiosk in the mall. He had a business builder philosophy. So group is a great opportunity. Deanne Foster and her husband are in the room, group vice presidents of the state of Utah. There's a phenomenal opportunity there if you have that skill set and or you have those contacts, people, the companies that are out there that are ready and willing to let you in the door. But this takes skill set. You know, remember earlier I said just show the video? You're not going to be doing that if you're calling on companies. Hi, yeah, I want to talk to you about something. Just want to show you a video. Can you imagine talking to a CEO? Right, it's not going to work. So up here, there's a skill set to master. You got to master this. Same thing with small business. Great opportunity. I think the small business plan is probably the best, most value-added plan that we offer. I think it's awesome. I own it myself. I don't own the family plan. I own the professionals plan. Do y'all have that here? Yeah. So I think it's awesome. But I didn't go down that route when I was new because I didn't know business owners. I knew broke people like me. You know, so I just offered them the business opportunity, and I've done well doing that. But so the small business is a great opportunity. It's tough, though. I've seen people go, oh, I'm going to quit my job, and I'm just going to knock small business doors and do small business full time. And you know what happens to most of those people. We all know what happens. Yeah, you never see them again. What happens is they knock on that first door, the business owner takes them by the back of the hair and kicks them right in the face, all their teeth fall out. And seriously, and we never see them again, right? I mean, they're like, I'm going to do small business full time. I'm like, bye-bye, you know, see you later. Same thing with group. I mean, normally it's very, you know, it happens because you got to be a player. I mean, you got to be tough. You got to be a salesman. You got to be good at rejection. You got to have a really a good skill set, okay? And you can learn that by going to the trainings and doing all that. Direct sales, same thing, just sales. Business builders. So everything that I'm going to share with you for the next however long we go, 10 minutes, is going to be about building a business. Is that okay? And I don't want to take anything away from this. We talk about the wheel of prepaid legal. What makes prepaid legal very, very, very unique is we have a real opportunity outside of recruiting. You know, some people are like, I don't want to recruit. That's icky to me. Great. You're going to be really good at one of these other areas of the business. So in a lot of network marketing companies, if they don't like recruiting, they ain't never going to make any money because they're making 60 cents a bottle. But you can put them on autoship, make 60 cents a month. All right. So let's talk about building a business. The first thing you need to know about building a network marketing business is that it is all about two things. Number one is leadership. Number two is influence. And if you have low levels of leadership and influence, you will have low levels of income. The whole business, network marketing, is about leadership and influence. It is the reason why I'm going to give you a 10-minute training on prepaid legal network marketing, and the rest of it is going to be on this stuff, on personal development. We talk about personal development because it's through personal development that you acquire leadership and influence. By the way, the definition of leadership, you might want to jot this down in your notes. Leadership is influence, nothing less, nothing more. Everything in your business will rise and fall on your level of leadership. This is why most people don't make big money in network marketing, because most people do not have the leadership and influence to make it work. And worse than not having it, they're not willing to go get it through personal development. So they kick the tires, they try, doesn't work for them, they quit, and they blame all their problems on prepaid legal. You know, I got a divorce because of prepaid. I mean, you hear people say this. You know, we lost our house because of prepaid. We lost our car. We lost everything because of prepaid. No, prepaid had nothing to do with it. Did prepaid kick you out? Did Mr. Stonecipher eminent domain your house? No. You, whatever. It all comes back to you. It's you. It had nothing to do with prepaid legal. So personal development. This is the business. Now, should you quit the business until you're really good at this and then start over? Come on, seriously? I don't have very much leadership, so I'm going to quit. Don't you have somebody in your upline who does have leadership? So you leverage them. Leverage the people in your upline that have leadership. See, this is why we come to these meetings every week. You could be a total bump on a log, not know anything about anything, but you can invite your neighbor who maybe is a little bit less of a bump on a log. Here, they see a professional presentation that you didn't have to give, and now your neighbor just got started. So here you are, and you recruited somebody who's at a little bit of a higher level than you. Can that person, a little bit shy, timid, a little bit backwards, you know, wears white socks with a black suit, okay? Could he bring someone into this environment, and could we recruit him for him? Absolutely. So we recruit somebody that's at a little bit of a higher level, and before long, you've got somebody that can actually build the business. So here you are, and you've got these people that aren't really doing anything, but this person's a 2, this person's a 3 on a scale of 1 to 10 in influence and leadership, this person's a 5, all of a sudden this person's an 8, and they begin to drive a business. Now you've got a business, and you don't have any leadership or influence. But we call this luck. Okay? We call that luck. People who are lucky do not build this. Leader, leader, leader. Lucky people's business looks like this. One leader. If they're lucky. But leaders attract what? Leaders. So, what you do is you do this. You do the best you can while you're working on you. You just do the best that you can. And Art Williams wrote a great book. Art Williams, most successful network marketer of all times. Art Williams wrote a great book called All You Can Do Is All You Can Do, But All You Can Do Is Enough. Isn't that great? So you just do all you can do. And just know that it's about getting better. Let me tell you a great story. My brother Jeff, how many of y'all know Jeff? My brother Jeff Hughes, a Millionaire Club member. He's coming next month, by the way. Y'all know that? He's going to be your speaker in about 2 weeks, 2-3 weeks, something like that. So, Jeff, and y'all tell him I was tattling on him, okay? Tell him I was telling stories about him. But my brother Jeff is can be brutal. He can be just like too honest. So, for example, I'm telling Jeff the story. I'm new in pre-pilot. Oh, man, Jeff, I got to tell you the story. There's this guy, and I was in the mall, and we were talking, and he's like a doctor, and he knows like 11 people. And my brother Jeff goes, blah, 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 blah. Sum up. I'm like, no, I got to tell you about... I go, listen, he knows like 11... No. Sum up. I'm like, you're so rude, Jeff. I'm trying to... Sum up. You guys ever see the Saturday Night Live? You ever see that? It's so funny. Okay, anyway. That wasn't in my script. All right, so... But that's just Jeff. One night we're at his house, and we're... Mike, Dave, Hughes, you know... All my brothers and we're laughing. It's about 11 o'clock at night. We're having a great time. And we said something funny, and Jeff's like, oh, man. Hey, where are you guys sleeping tonight? And we said, he looked at me, and I go, I'm at home. And he goes, go there. I'm like, who flipped your switch? You were just laughing. Like, we were partying, having a good time. And he's like, where are you sleeping tonight? I go, I'm sleeping in my house. Go there. I'm like, dang, man. You know, that was Jeff. Another story about Jeff. I called Jeff. I said, Jeff, I got my 3 people, right? They're not doing anything. I don't think I'm going to qualify for executive director this month. He said, Chris, stop letting those stupid people hold you hostage. That was the most brilliant advice I'd gotten up to that point in my business. Because I was like, oh, come on, guys, come on, go, 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 come on, go, go. And Jeff's whole premise was, go find somebody that will build it. Stop trying to get, I don't even know my farm, what do you call a male cow? Yeah, stop trying to get milk from a bull, right? I mean, that's what he was saying. Jeff knows his ranch analogies a little better than I do. But I love that. No nonsense. He just tell you the truth. Just like, look, I'm done having fun. Get out of my house. You know? Stop whining. You're being an idiot. I mean, just tell you. So one time he's in a room about this big. About 40 people. Okay? And he's training. Privy Legal is amazing, you know. I made $50,000 my first year, $100,000 my second year. Changed my life. Da da da. It's great. This lady raises her hand. And I don't know if any of you execs have ever had a heckler in your room, in your prepaid legal training room, but this woman's a heckler, and she's like, "Jeffrey," this is in Texas, okay? So I got to do my little Texas. "Jeffrey," she's like, "you make it sound so easy. I can't sell this membership to nobody. I can't recruit nobody." And he goes, "Okay, that's fair enough." And now the room, you know, everybody's kind of freaked out because she's taking this whole thing negative. And he goes, "All right, cool, thank you." And he goes, "Do you want to know why that is? Why you can't sell a recruit?" She said, "Why?" And he said, "Because you suck." Can you imagine? "Because you suck." And she was, whoa, I mean, she's about to erupt, right? He goes, whoa, chill out. "I sucked too when I was new." And he goes, "You want to know when things are going to get better for you?" And she said, "When?" And he says, "When you stop sucking." The only difference between me and you is I stopped sucking early on. You're still sucking. Now, that's fun and funny and unbelievable that he would actually do that and say that. But I read somewhere that the truth will set you free. And my mentor, Mr. William E. Bailey, said, "You might as well start with the truth because you're going to wind up with it." And the truth is, that woman sucked. Pardon my French. I don't normally use that word, but I'm quoting, so. She was terrible. I mean, you could tell a lot about her just from this story, right? Heckler, negative, blah, negative, can't do it, impossible. Right? So, I mean, we all know that kind of person. That kind of person will never, ever build a big business until they change their ways radically. And the odds are she's probably so stinking negative she might not ever be able to break free from that quagmire. And I just hope that none of you are that negative. And if you are, you got the fight of your life on your hands. But it'll be one of the most important. It will be the most important financial fight, which may even bleed over into relationships and family and spirituality and all of that. It may be one of the most important fights you ever fought in your life. Because if you're negative, no one likes you. Except your negative friends. They might love you. "Oh, I love so negative. He's always complaining. I love it." But what are they going to do for you? They don't have any ability to influence you into a better life. You know what's interesting? We talk about associations. You've got to associate with people who have what you want. And there's a big problem with that. They don't want to associate with you. Me. The people I wanted to associate with didn't want to associate with me. It's like, okay, you got to, you know, get a haircut and shave your face and put on a nice suit and brush your teeth every now and again. And, you know, work these things out and be a person that they want to be. Be a light bulb, not a dark hole, you know, a black hole. How many of y'all have seen people that are so negative and just, they like just suck it out? You know what I mean? You're around them for 3 minutes and you feel like you haven't slept in 9 days. Y'all know these people? You got to stay away from them. You got to stay away from them. So, where was I going with all that? Jeff. Jeff. He's coming next month, 2 weeks. He's great. I think Jeff Hughes is one of the best trainers in all of prepaid legal, and his song has not been sung in the company. I don't think that he hasn't had the recognition, the notoriety for his ability. When he hits his soft spot, there's probably no one better in the company. I mean, I love his down to earth. Y'all will feel like you're in his living room and he's just talking to you. That's how you'll feel. He has a gift that way. And I hope that you'll all come and buy multiple tickets and get lots of people. We'll talk more about that. Okay, so it all comes back to leadership and personal development. I said last night at the meeting, I said, I'm not going to train you on how to do prepaid legal because you already know. You're in this room. You know, or else you wouldn't be in that room. And Jeff might come in and teach you how to do prepaid legal. And who was here last month? Melanie Lawson. She's probably talking retention and how to do prepaid legal. For the balance of the day, for the next hour, I'm going to talk about putting yourself together for success. Is that okay? We're going to talk about the outside of you. We're going to talk about the inside of you. We're going to talk about the hidden you. So, we have a lot of ground to cover. Let's do it. If you're ready, Sam, ready?
Ready.
There's three reasons why you're not succeeding in network marketing and prepaid legal. Number one, you're not doing it right. You're not doing it enough. Or you need personal development. that's it, or some combination of the three. It might be 1 and 3, 2 and 1, or maybe 1, 2, and 3. You're not doing it right. You're not doing it enough. Let's talk about what right is. Y'all help me out. What would right? What is? We have a system, don't we? What is our system? Tools and events, right? Tools and events. What else? In that, we have a subset. We've got the 10 core commitments. Just rattle them out. You guys, what are they? Okay, 2 exposures a day. Okay, Super Saturday, briefing. Trainings. Okay, personal development. Do game plans with all your people. Workout partner. Be here 1 year from now. Okay. team events. All right, so we can go down this list, but y'all have, there's little sheets that say 10 core. That is our system. How many of you, for the last 90 days, and you might as well start with the truth because you're going to wind up with it, so don't think you're going to impress us by raising your hands, but for the last 90 days, you've been to every briefing, you've been to every training, you've gone on every conference call, you've done a long distance package a week, you've done 2 exposures a day, every single day, 5 or 6 days a week, or 7, whatever your work week is that you choose, you went to the convention. How many of you have been doing it all right for the last 90 days? Show of hands. Okay, so we have 1 person in the room. Say again? Yeah, I had you up to the exposures, right? I mean, it's easy to show up at all the events. It's kind of fun, right? Get dressed up, go see your friends. That's all fun. I had a guy tell me, he's like, Chris, I'm really proud of myself. I said, what? He goes, I've been living the 10 core commitments to a T, except for my exposures. And I said, well, good for you. I thought he was joking, but he was dead serious. I said, well, hey, that's good. So who's advertising your business? What do you mean? Well, are you doing any exposures? No, I'm still working on that. Okay, well, in the meantime, while you're working on it, who's advertising? Well, nobody. Okay. I'm really proud of you. And you need to start doing your exposures. Well, I'm insecure. I'm this, I'm that. And look, family, if you're that scared, here's what I want you to do. If you're so scared you can't even talk to your neighbor, I want you to get a DVD, walk out your front door, and throw it into your neighbor's yard. Okay? I'm not kidding. Do your exposures that way. My brother Dave was so scared to talk to people when he was new. They used to throw DVDs on the ground at their college. They're in school, and they like throw a DVD on the ground and keep walking. And then somebody would grab him and go, hey, you dropped that. And he's like, no, I didn't. Had his phone number on it. And here's what will happen. You'll do that, and a couple things are going to happen. Number one, you're going to realize that doesn't work. It does not work. And it will compel you to do one of two things, quit or get better. And see, we're going to go back to the beginning. If you've made a decision and a commitment, you're not going to quit. What are you going to do? You're going to get better. And so now, instead of throwing a DVD in the front yard, you're going to go over there, ring the doorbell, drop it on the mat, and run home. And after doing that for a season of your life, you're going to realize that, what? Doesn't work. And so you're going to have 2 choices to make, quit or get better. And since you've made a decision and a commitment, you're not going to quit. What are you going to do? You're going to get better. And that's all we're asking you to do, is just get better. You don't have to make $5,000, $10,000, $50,000, $100,000 a month. You may think you do. You may, oh, I got to make $3,000 or I'm going to lose my house. No. You need to get better. You don't need $3,000. You need to get better, because if you're better, you'd have the $3,000. You all get that? People chase the money. They're chasing the wrong thing. Money will evade you 100 times out of 100. If you're going to chase anything, chase growth. Because with growth comes increased opportunities. With growth comes increased earning power. Okay? Everybody got that? Okay, so you're not doing it right or you're not doing it enough. If you're part-time, baby, brand new and prepaid, how many exposures are you doing a day?
2.
At least 2. And if you are doing 2 every day, you're doing it enough. And if you're not having success, what is it? You're either not doing it right or you need some more personal development. This is why we have a system. Because if you can go and you can go check, 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 check on the system, then you know you're doing it right. And this is why we say 2 a day when you're part-time, maybe 5 a day when you're, you know, a little more than part-time, maybe 7 to 10 a day when you're full-time. The reason we put a number on it, 2, 5, 10, is so that you can know you're doing it enough. So if you got the right down and you got the enough down and you've been in the business for years and you're not an executive director, or maybe you are an executive director but you're not making enough money, it's because you're lacking personal development. Everybody got that? I mean, I love that this isn't a thousand things that we need to diagnose. It's just a few things. Now, are there subsets or there subcategories? Yes. But this is the bulk of it. I am your father. Luke. I am your father. Come to the dark side. All right. Can you hear me? Okay. So, the right and enough is the easy part. It's the easy part. And I love people truly committed. My good friend Mike Chapman, who we built the business really aggressively for a couple years together. And Mike Chapman and I were sleeping in a nasty hotel in Ada when we were fairly new in the business. And we were there for some meeting. Can't remember what it was. And Mike was undressed. He's in his bed. I'm in my bed. He goes, ah! I go, what? He goes, I only did one exposure today. And I'm like, and? And he got up, put his pants on, his shirt on. And he goes, you want to come with me? And I go, sure, I want to watch this, you know. So we got in the car. We drove to a 7-Eleven or a convenience store. He went in and said, this is fairly new in the business, so he didn't have a lot of confidence. And he said, watch this, I think you'll like it. And the guy said, what is it? Just watch it, I think you'll like it. And I thought, wow, good for him. See, and that's the kind of... that's the kind of commitment that it takes. 11 o'clock, you're undressed, you're tired. You're either doing it right or you're not. And if y'all want to build this thing big, you got to do it right. You got to do it enough. And you got to knock the right and the enough out so that you know what you got. If you got the right and the enough, you've been doing it right and enough for years and you're still not having success in the business, now you know what it is. Isn't that cool that you can know? I mean, I would want to know. Wouldn't you want to know? So now let's talk about the personal development. Personal development, you know, there's several categories. I like to draw. Y'all just bear with me on this. I'm not a good drawer, but I like to use my fingers. And what do you call that when you... anyway, all right. Let's call this the outside. Let's call this the inside. And we'll call this the inner. I've not worked this out yet, so you guys just bear with me. The inner you. Okay? Let's start with the outside. Personal development. I've read books. I read a book called Dress for Success. Early on. Is that personal development? Yes. Is that working on my leadership and my influence? Yes. Dress for success. The outside matters. You guys should see a picture of me on my first executive director retreat. I've been in the business a year. We're at Jackson Hole, and I have an afro. It's the dumbest thing you've ever seen. Lamb chops. I was too cool for school, man. I thought I had the world by the tail. I'm such a cool guy. I'm an ED. I'm on my executive director trip, and I realized that I was limited in my ability to attract quality people because of the way I looked. If any of you have piercings or tattoos on your forehead, don't be offended by this. But you are limited in the people that you can have influence over when you're all tatted up, pierced up. And where's Ryan? Ryan, will you stand up? Can I make an example? I want to talk about Ryan. Ryan showed up to one of my trainings. How long ago was that? 2 years? About 2 years ago. Tatted up and pierced up everywhere. And crazy hair. And that was his life and who he was. And he's still in transition. Okay? I came to tell the truth, didn't I? And look at him. You wouldn't believe it. And so thank you and congratulations. So here's a guy who listened. Now I could be right or wrong. You got to roll the dice on that. But you know, my philosophy in the early days, I'm like, hey, if he has what I want, he's up on stage and they trust him enough to come and train, I'm going to listen. So congratulations for listening. And by the way, I'm still in transition. Okay? So it matters. As soon as I meet somebody, like the reason I... Have you guys ever heard somebody go, man, he's sharp. She's a sharp lady. You ever heard that? The reason they're saying that is because of what they see on the outside. They never met them. How can you really know they're sharp? We say that because we make a snap judgment about the person. We look at them from the outside. We go, man, they're sharp. When I meet new people, I'm looking for somebody who can come into prepaid legal and be an influencer, be a market maker. That's what I'm looking for. And if I'm looking for that, I got to be that. I got to at least look the part. I can't recruit professionalism if I look like Snoop Dogg, you know, or Eminem, or for those of you that are older, Ozzy Osbourne. Okay. Black Sabbath, Megadeth, all those dudes. Right? I mean, if you're a hardcore rocker, you got to cut your hair. If you're a surfer, you got to comb your hair. You know, if you're a troll, you got to take a shower. I mean, really, we go down the list. It matters. Now, I'm gonna. I don't think I have time to go there. But anyway, so, like before I got dressed this morning, I polished my shoes. I made sure they weren't dusty and dirty. I made sure that my shirt was pressed. Right? I made sure I took a shower. I used deodorant. Now, y'all know this is like real basic stuff, but it ain't that basic for some people. And you can smell. I mean, you can tell, right? That it's not that basic. So this stuff matters. We're all looking at you and you're looking at us. People say, you shouldn't judge a book by its cover. I love what Jim Rohn says. He says, that's true. But we do. And so now what are you going to do with that? You can go your whole life and go, well, people shouldn't judge me for the way I look. Well, they shouldn't. But guess what? So start here. It's easy. You know where I used to shop when I was new? TJ Maxx, Ross, Marshalls. Silk ties, $9.99. Beautiful. Handmade. Brand name, you know, shirts that are high quality, $12.99. I looked really good when I was new. At least I did at the time. I look back and go, wow. Didn't I need a lesson? But I at least was clean. You know, I was well put together, you know, to an extent. I had this suit that had a hole in the back. It had a hole right here. And it looked so good from the front. And so, you know, if people tried to get around me, it was like, you know, I was always like this. You know, so how's your week going? Awesome, awesome. Hey, Mr. Hughes, come over here. I want to introduce you. No, bring him over here. So, but I got that. So this, put yourself together. Put yourself together. I see a lot of you, Utah for some reason has a lot of facial hair. No problem, facial hair. Yeah, snowboarding. Oh yeah, you can cut it off after snowboarding, great. Okay, well I just tell you this quick story because this got me into the head of a multi-gazillionaire, okay? I was at church and this guy happened to be, you know, the bishop. And I go in to chat with him and had a goatee and I looked so good. I'm kidding. But I thought I looked so good, right? I'm like, yeah, I got my goatee. And I say, oh, yeah, I got it just right this time, right? And I'm shaving it up. And I go and I sit down with him. And he says, hey, Chris, how's it going? I go, good. How you doing? He goes, good. He's like, so what are you hiding? You know, hard go. What do you mean, what am I hiding? What are you hiding? And I said, I'm not hiding anything. Yeah, you are. No, I'm not hiding anything, I promise. I'd know if I was hiding something because I'm me and I know me. No, you're hiding something. No, I'm not. Why would you even say that? He's like, because you got a goatee. I'm like, come on, are you kidding me right now? No, I'm not kidding. What are you hiding? I go, I'm not hiding anything. You are hiding something because you have a goatee. I have a goatee because I have a baby face. That's what I'm talking about. I was like, wow. He said, Chris, let me teach you a principle. If you're ever to be successful, you have to be comfortable in your own skin. Now, is it okay to have facial hair and long hair and rock out? Yeah, it's okay, but you got to get comfortable looking normal first, right? Or looking. I started going through the profiles of success, and it was like clean cut, clean cut, clean cut, clean cut, clean cut, goatee, clean cut, clean cut, clean cut, clean cut, clean cut, beard, clean cut, clean cut, clean cut, Craig Heppner. Remember him back in the day? You know, I'm like, that dude's platinum, you know, long hair, blah, you know, rocking it out. I mean, Craig's one of the biggest leaders in the company. But he was so developed in other areas of his life, he could do that. You know, he could do that. So clean cut, clean cut, clean, right? And I just thought, you know what? It's not worth it. I shaved my goatee, cut off my lamb chops, cut my hair, put on a nice suit, and things got so much easier after that. So much easier. People started coming to me at the meetings. I thought, wow, this is pretty cool. I'm becoming a person of influence. On the outside. But then there's the inside. The inside. This could be virtues, or this could be like patience. This could be personality, charisma, honesty, integrity. There's a whole lot to this. But if you look great on the outside and you lie to everybody that joins your team, what? It ain't gonna work for you. Now, I recruited 40 people to six figures. So in other words, I was able to, because of leadership and influence, I was able to take these 40 people and get them to generate $100,000 in income for me, but I didn't get them to do it for me, I got them to do it for them. But because these 40 people allowed me to influence them because of the way I looked on the outside and the way I was on the inside. Okay, was I perfect here? Heck no. Far from it, still far from it. A work in progress. But I was able to be enough in this category where people trusted me. When I said show, they showed. When I say do, they did. When I had a party, they showed up. When I recognized them, they cried. Because I was enough to get this thing going. Y'all with me? So we have all these check, 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 check. And then it's like, okay, let's look at this. We got the outside. This is easy. Just clean it up. Spruce it up. Smell it up. That sounded bad, but make it smell better, okay? On the outside, that's easy. Get a GQ magazine and just pick one. You know, look like, or just go through the profile. Look at Mr. Self. Figure out how to tie one of those big knots that he has. You know, look good, right? Like Mr. Self. Inside, this is all personal development stuff. We're working on all this all the time. All the time we're working on this. But you got to have this stuff put together. Now let me tell you a story. I missed DD two times early on in my career. I was living with David, my brother David. He's in one room with his wife. They put their daughter in the closet. She's since come out, so that's fine. I was in the other room. I was in the other room. They let me sleep there. We split the rent. And we had one car. I didn't have a car. By the way, I built from director to gold with no car. Didn't have a vehicle. I gave it away when I was a director. I had no car till I was gold, and Sky and I went and bought a Lexus. Because I went from director to gold, making six figures. I had lots of money, no credit. She had lots of credit, no money. It was a perfect marriage. So we went and bought this nice car, and we've had some nice cars and things over the years. But where was I going with that? Yeah, so I'm with my brother, Dave. We missed executive director 1 month. We're devastated. They came and got the car, or we missed it the second month. They came and got the car. The eviction notice is on our apartment, and we're in this little apartment with no furniture, crying our eyes out. Crying our eyes out. What are we going to do? We were contemplating getting jobs. His wife went and got a job. I thought about getting a job. I actually took a job on Friday, but I quit over the weekend. So, because they wouldn't let me go to my meetings and trainings. I said, can I go to my meetings and trainings? They said, nope. I go, okay, wrong job for me. Because I'm building my empire. I'm not going to sweat it out for you and, you know, let you own me. So, we do something, we bend the rules, is putting it mildly. David Hughes bent the rules, and Chris Hughes bent the rules, and we got caught. And we were supposed to be terminated from the company. And we got yelled at by our upline. But they said they could sense our sincerity. I mean, I cried my eyes out. Not because I was getting ready to get terminated, because I realized how jacked up I was. I'm so jacked up that I'll lie, cheat, and steal. And luckily, my team didn't know it. But I had enough worked out to where I could build a business. But I had not yet worked the massive character flaws out of me. And I had to look in the mirror and realize, you are a mess. And so I wrote a letter to the cop. We called her the top cop, Pat Groves. Some of you might know who she is. She's not a cop anymore now. She has a real easy job now. But I called or emailed Pat and I said, I'm very sorry. I can't tell you how sorry I am. I'm prepared to accept, in the morning, we're supposed to talk in the morning, I'm prepared to accept full termination for my actions, and I deserve it. And for what it's worth, I'm very sorry, but I just want to share with you that the worst thing about all of this is having to look myself in the mirror and realize that I have no integrity. Talk to you in the morning. And she wrote back and said, Mr. Hughes, in all my years as the top cop at Prepaid, no one who got caught ever admitted it. They fight, they lie until we kick them out of the company. She said, all I wanted to tell you was, you do have integrity. You made a mistake. You blundered. But I think you're going to be big and Prepaid. We're not going to terminate you. Don't do it again. Isn't that great? So I had a level of integrity, not complete integrity. Integrity is perfection. We're all going to be working on that for a while. So, now I want to spend the rest of our time. We have a half hour. Do you guys see, by the way, why it's so important that we're reading the books and going to the seminars and associating with good people? Because this training, I don't know if any of this is new or different or shining a light in your life in a place that you haven't seen before. But these trainings, for me in the early days especially, they rocked my world. I was hearing information I've never heard in my whole life. I mean, I was raised in an ignorant, racist, backwoods, abusive family. And then I come into this environment where everybody's so positive and people they love each other and they're supportive and they're like, you can do it. Like, for real? It's amazing. It's so different. I was raised that someone's color of their skin meant something. And when I found out that it didn't, I felt like a fool. We're raised by our mothers and fathers and those people in an environment. But I've got a question for you. What if your mother and your father and the people in your environment are ignorant, racist, and flat out wrong? See, that's why it's so important that we reach out and we read other people's books. We learn other people's philosophies and information. You don't have to buy it, believe it all, accept it, assimilate all that. But it's important to get that education and to get into the minds of some other people. And that's what's changed my life, is because I've been able to realize, wow, through reading a book or going to a seminar, hearing somebody talk, wow, that's incredible. Patrick Shaw, you know Patrick? Every day between meals at his house, they put fresh organic fruit sliced up in a little plate and they just leave it on the table for the kids. I thought, wow, that's different than the chips. And he puts his kids to bed every night listening to As a Man Thinketh. Wow, that's different. See, I never heard stuff like that before. And I'm telling you, all that stuff affects you. All right. Now, how many of you, where's my CD, Sky? I want to show you guys something. This, I made a CD program. Some of y'all have heard about this. My goal when I got into Prepaid was to be a motivational speaker, a best-selling author, and an infopreneur to create information products. And that's where I've been for 10 months, is living my dreams. I wrote two books, which one of them turned into an audio before it was a book. And this audio is called Staying Up in Down Times, How to Thrive in the New Economy. And how many of you have it? Do some of you have it? Some of you have it. And thanks for the feedback. Especially Lucas. He's the most excited. You guys are pretty excited. But it says, the Great Recession is over, in quotes. Over. Because it's we ain't seen nothing yet. Save your money, by the way. Yet many financial experts see a global economic storm on the horizon that will prove to have never had an equal. That's the bad news. The good news is those who get the right education and take proper action now can not only survive, they can thrive. Join C.S. Hughes. Join me as he discusses the rules of the economic game, how the rules of the economic game have changed, and what you can do to make the coming years the best you've ever had. And I'm getting ready to give you a little piece of that. You want to hear it? I talked about education. When I say education, I don't mean going back to college and getting a degree. We don't have time for that. If you want to do that, do that. But don't do that as means to an end. Do that to satisfy some personal fancy that you have. If you want to thrive in the new economy, we're in a very critical time in the world's history. And we will see changes in the next 18 months that none of us have ever experienced. Our grandparents who went through the recession, depression, we will experience struggle like no one ever has in the United States of America in the latter years. How do I know that? Because I've been reading a lot of books. And I read a book about 7 years ago, 8 years ago, that said that the stock market is going to collapse, real estate industry is going to collapse, the mortgage industry is going to collapse, and the Wall Street Journal and all the people who are really smart mocked these authors, mocked the book. You guys are idiots. This is the United States of America. That could never happen here. And what we've seen is everything that they said. Everything that they said. And everybody was mocking them all the way. So there are people out there who are not only loud, they're honest. They're really hard to find, by the way. They're not on mainstream media. You have to search for the truth. And they're telling the truth. And so I've learned some of these things. So what do we need to do to make... We've got to make more money than we've ever made, quicker than we've ever made it. Jim Rohn talks about go on an intensified learning curve. An intensified learning curve is learning faster than you've ever learned. Relevant knowledge. Please get that in your notes. Not just knowledge, relevant knowledge. Relevant knowledge. We want to acquire, assimilate, and implement relevant knowledge as quickly as we can. As quickly as we can. And here's some of that relevant knowledge that we all need to get. And I call this, and I talk about this in greater length. I'm not going to have time to go through it all today. But your five success stars. Okay, so let's say you're doing it all right, and you're doing it enough, and you're even building a team, and things are going okay, but you're not breaking through. Okay, you're stuck at a level, 20 grand a year, 30 grand a year, 50 grand a year, 80 grand a year, or whatever it is. There's a reason for that, and it's because your stars aren't aligned. So for the bulk of today, we're going to be talking about your stars. 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. And I'm not going to put these in any particular order, but I hope that you'll all write them down. First is your thoughts. Next is your emotions. / how do you feel most of the time? Thoughts, emotions, feelings, words, actions. What am I missing? Beliefs. Okay? In my mind, this is some of the most powerful teachings that I can share with you today. And I hope I can... You guys okay if we go 10 over? You guys okay? Because I need about a half hour. Yeah. About a half hour. Your five success stars. We talk about aligning the stars, right? When the stars align, got to get all my ducks in a row. We've heard that, everybody? Yes? Okay, So, your thoughts. Everybody wants to just go after prepaid legal. They want to attack it. Do my two-a-day. I'm going to go to all the meetings and trainings. Kumbaya. Everything's awesome, right? Well, that's all great. What you do in public is great. But the big question is this. You've got all, the reality is you have to line up your stars in order to have success in life. This was my major focus for 3 years, was getting my stars lined up. Because some people, their actions, I mean, I know people who can recruit a person a day. They're so good at recruiting, but they're toxic. They're negative. They complain. They're whiners. Okay, so their stars aren't aligned. They're like, I'm so good at the business, man. I recruited 32 people last month. Why aren't I making any money? Because your stars aren't aligned. You're out of balance. Okay, so let's start with your thoughts. People from the beginning of time have been talking about as a man thinketh, so is he, right? That actually is as a man thinketh what? In their heart. That's why I've put thoughts and emotions together. As a man thinketh in his heart. Now, where do you think? In your head. So why would that writer say, as a man or a woman thinketh in their heart? Do y'all know what they're really saying? That as a person thinks and feels, so will he or she become. That's really what's trying to be said there. Because we're thinking a thought. We think a thought and we emotionalize it. Y'all, how many of y'all seen The Secret? Okay? If you haven't watched The Secret, watch The Secret. A couple things about The Secret. Number one, it ain't no Sunday school video, so don't be looking for Jesus. Go to church for that, all right? Because a lot of my friends are like, I hated it. I'm a Christian, and you know, and I can't stand that because, you know, they talk about the universe. They never talk about Jesus. I'm like, it's not a church video, dude. It's a video to teach people the secrets of success all around the world with all different belief systems. So just know that first and foremost. Second, it's incomplete. It's a really good foundation, but it's incomplete. You've got to do your own study and research to get the rest of it. But what we... Some of y'all finish this sentence. What you think about comes about. And let me just tell you that I know that that is true. What you think about comes about. And what you think about and feel about for sure comes about. And let me give an example. We talked about this last night, Lucas. This is how I see it. When you think a thought in your head, let's say the thought is here, and you emotionalize it. I like to compare the thought, and this will be a little bit coarse for some of you, bear with me, it's called life, sperm and egg. When you think a thought, there's only so much power in a thought. When you have a feeling, there's only so much power in a feeling. But when you put thought and feeling together, it is my opinion that you have created life. You've created a little bit of energy. I've learned in my study, Bob Proctor, I've been working with him for about the last year or so, and Bob Proctor teaches that spirit and energy is synonymous. I mean, we could go so deep right here, but I need to be careful. Sperm and egg put together, you have life. Or spirit, or energy. And here's what I've learned over the years, that all energy, all spirit desires to be embodied, wants flesh laid upon it. Let me give you a good example. Some of you believe in the Bible. Many of you, I'm sure, do. And in the Bible, Jesus is walking up the street, and he sees a crazy man possessed of many devils. And the devils say, Jesus Christ, Son of God, what do we have to do with you? And Jesus says, come out of the man. And the spirits, the energy, the life that was animating that body during that time, these spirits say, give us the body of the pig. And Jesus suffered it to be so. Now, these were Jews. Jews don't eat pig. They don't like pig. They don't want to pet them, touch them, play with them, take pictures of them, or anything. So you got to wonder, why was it that this energy, this spirit, wanted to go into this filthy, deplorable, abominable animal? Answer, because all spirit desires flesh. And when you think a thought and you emotionalize it, you have created life. That energy is going out in the universe wanting to be embodied. And it's looking for the most convenient opportunity to have flesh laid upon it. So let me give you a real example. You think bounce check. Oh gosh, I bounced another check. You emotionalized bounce check. Oh, right. Pew. Life. Spirit. Energy. Going out into the universe. Looking for the physical equivalent. So the only way for that spirit to be embodied is if another bounce check shows up in your life. And then it says, finally. When you think about success and you emotionalize it, I used to see myself walk on the stage as a six-figure ringer in a prepaid legal. I used to give my ring speech. They give you a little gold ring when you make six figures. Put a diamond in it when you make a quarter million or more. I used to see myself walking across the stage, Wilburn Smith, Jeff Olson, here I am, my brothers are all at this table, there's all these people, the Amelias, right, they're all excited. I visualized that every single night of my life until I got the ring. And what was I doing? Thinking, emotionalizing, energy, spirit, looking in the universe for everything that it needs to come back to get me my six-figure ring. And I know we could go way down that rabbit hole, but we're going to stop. So thoughts and emotions. And here's my question. We say this. I am an executive director by such and such a date. Okay? So we call this affirmation. And I used to say all the time in my early years, every time somebody rejected me, I reaffirm my affirmation. I am happy, healthy, wealthy, wise, confident, and successful. I'm a prosperous businessman generating $100,000 a year, and through Christ Jesus, all things are possible. That was my affirmation. I'm happy, healthy, wealthy, wise. I say it all the time. Hey, you're interested in prepaid legal? No, I'm not. I'm happy, healthy, wealthy, wise, confident, and successful. I'm a prosperous businessman. So a negative was always a positive for me. It was always a positive for me. There was no negative. Because as soon as somebody kicked me in the teeth, I'm doing an affirmation. I'm visualizing a better future. But most people, they go, hey, you want to do prepaid legal? No. Are you sure? No. And then like, oh, she hit me. She punched me. I can't believe it. This is terrible. My mom was right. My mom said there's a scam. They're going to take my money. It's never going to work. And they stay in the quagmire. They stay in this quicksand. I'm like, immediately, you got to get out of there because you got to keep your stars aligned. So we say we have this goal. I'm going to make $10,000 a month. I'm going to get my ring. I'm going to be executive director. I'm going to be director 25, director 50. Well, that's easy. The question is, what do you think about at night before you go to bed? What do you think about when your bills aren't paid? Please get this in your notes. One of the hardest things you'll ever do in life is thinking abundance when you're experiencing poverty. One of the hardest things you'll ever do in your life is to think abundance when you're living in poverty. It's one of the hardest things you'll ever do, and it's absolutely necessary for you to change your life. You have to do it. It's not one of those things you're like, well, I hope I can do it. No. If you want the good life, you have to. Everybody got that? Like, it's not an option if you want the big life. So your thoughts need to be, this is incredible. I'm going to kill this thing. I'm so excited. Prepaid legal is amazing. My team is exploding right now. And you might have 35 people that quit and one person that fast start qualified. Here's what most people say. Man, 35 people, where are all the winners at? Man, my team, they're all losers. They're not doing anything. Da-da-da. It's like, no. You put all of your focus on what's good in your life. All of it. Because that which we focus on, somebody finish the sentence, grows and expands. If you're focused on the 35 that quit, you better start looking for another 35 that are going to quit. Because they will. Because what you focus on expands. It's amazing to me how people, I'll save that for words. You guys remind me, briefing guests. Okay? Briefing guests. All right. So, your thoughts have to be positive all the time. Now, are they going to be? No, but that needs to be your goal. Don't entertain a thought that's negative. Like, and here's how they creep in. Oh, man. Manager's going to be hard in April. I still have to get five more people. See, I didn't wear my rubber band, but get a rubber band, put it on your wrist, and anytime you fall out of alignment here, you pop yourself as hard as you can. And don't get a fat rubber band. I tried that. I thought fatter would be better. No, you want a skinny one. Super elastic. You pull that thing back, it'll feel like it sliced your wrist off. But you get that. Because when you're thinking, oh man, I don't know if I can go manager, that is totally out of alignment with your goal. You can't think about that stuff. Because if you think about it, you might feel it. And if you feel it and you think about it, you're creating your own reality. That energy is going throughout the whole universe. Negative, negative, negative. Looking for negative stuff. Negative people, negative experiences. Come to my life. Come to me now. Come to me now. Jesus said, according to your faith, be it unto you. Faith is belief. We're going to talk about that in a minute. Belief. Faith is not, everybody, you know, I was born in the South, and everybody's, I mean, it's I've always had a philosophical aversion to the whole, I got to be careful not to go religious here. I've always been taught, and I believe personally, spiritually, religiously, that my responsibility in this life is to not only pay homage to God, but to actually do God's work. Okay, I believe that. In my heart of heart, I believe that in some small way, my hands are His hands, and I've got to get them dirty. Okay? And I had a lot of friends growing up in Texas who said, you don't got to do God's work, you just got to pay homage. Just pay homage. You know, and they call that faith. And here's my contention. Faith is not what you say. Faith is not just something you have. Faith is what you think. Faith is what you feel. Faith is what you speak. Faith is what you do. And faith is what you believe. This is faith, by the way. This is faith. This is faith. And if you have faith, we learn that faith can move a mountain. Faith, a tiny little bit of faith. A tiny little bit. Can move the mountains, can do all kinds of crazy, you know, amazing things. This right here is faith. And if you're out of alignment in these areas, you don't have positive faith. You have negative faith. And according to your faith, be it unto you. Negative faith, negative life. Positive faith, positive life. That's what this is. People, oh, by the way, everybody thinks faith is positive. Faith is neutral. Faith is faith. It's not positive, it's not negative. Faith is faith. If you're negative, if you're off track and you're here, that's called negative faith. I don't know. If I can get manager, your wish is my command. According to your faith, be it unto you. You don't think you're going to get manager? You won't. Oh, but, you know, and then they don't make manager and they blame God. God, I prayed all month. I thought you'd help me. God says, where's your faith? You were thinking about not accomplishing shit. You were scared of what would happen if you missed manager. You talked about it to your spouse. Oh no, it's a big jump. That's faith. It's just negative. Negative faith, negative life. You don't do the actions that you need to do. Okay, you don't believe you can do it, therefore you don't get it. That's faith. That's what it looks like if you were to draw it out on a piece of paper. It's not just, you know, laying in your bed meditating, I'm going ED this month, but you haven't done anything to deserve it. You've been doubting it the whole time. You're scared out of your mind you're going to lose your house because you're scared you're not going to qualify for executive director. So, we've handled the thoughts and the emotions. By the way, get the rubber band. They're like free. You can borrow one. Just tell someone, I really need a rubber band. You can be the brokest person in this room and someone will love you enough to give you a rubber band. But I'm telling you guys, when my wife and I first got married, I'm wearing myself out. This is why I learned these principles. Bang, 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 just popping my wrist all the time. And here's what happens. You stop the madness after a while because it hurts. And it's a reminder. And what I started doing is I would pop, and I used a technique called cancel. So it's almost like you think it, you feel it, you got this energy that goes out into the universe. One of my gurus taught me, just verbalize and emotionalize cancel. And you neutralize that negative energy that went out into the universe, and then you reaffirm your affirmation. Now you're putting the positive out. So it's like you're so negative throughout the day. We're all negative, right? It's like bang, bang, bang. But throughout the day, I'm visualizing the positive. Pop, cancel. Visualize the positive. Reaffirm my affirmation. Now this is probably weirding some of y'all out, but just try it. Just try it. This was all like muckety, like what? I mean, I thought these people were crazy when I first started hearing this. Then I started trying it, and it was in the trying of it that my faith began to grow. Everybody got it? So let's talk about words. How many of you, leaders, how many of you have heard this? Oh, man, Mr. Burns. Man, I've been trying to get my guests here all day. I had 6 guests confirmed, but they all canceled. Y'all heard that? You ever heard that? Man, I had 3 guests coming tonight and they all canceled. I used to say, oh man, hey, that's the business, you know, I mean, just live and learn, do your best, I mean, we just got to do our best. Now when people say, oh man, I had three guests coming tonight, and they all bailed out on me, I go, man, get used to it. And then he'll come back and go, what? And I'll say, look, how does that make you feel that your guest didn't show up tonight? Okay, feels bad. Do you like that? Do you want more of it? Then why in the world would you talk about it? You see what that does to this person? I mean, this is some hardcore coaching. And then they stand there in their own slop. There's nowhere to go. And here's what's just boggles my mind. The next week, same guy, same thing. And sometimes I just want to go, look, just quit. Seriously, like, you really should quit. Because last week I told you that this was going to continue happening if you keep talking about it, and you didn't do anything, say anything. I thought you got it, but apparently you didn't get it because we're having the same conversation this week. So are you going to do this to me again next week, or are you going to quit? Okay, you just let them sit in their slop for a little bit. Let them, you know, work their way through that whole thing. But I mean, really, the things you speak about, what? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, some of you believe that, some of you don't, but it's still interesting. It's still interesting. Words. You're giving life force. You're giving energy to the things that you speak about. Oh, man, my back has been hurting all morning. What are you doing? Look, if you need prayers, ask for prayers, but don't do that. Don't be complaining. Why would you give life force to your back hurting? Why would you give life force to not being able to pay your bills? Are y'all getting this? I mean, people go, oh man, it's all Obama's fault, you know? And before Obama, it was, who was in the office back then? Bush? Man, as soon as Bush gets out of the office, we're going to be good, you know? And then we get Obama, and then you got everybody saying, gosh, if we could just get Obama out of there, my life would be better. No. Look, I've made more money under Obama's administration than I ever have in my life, and I didn't vote for him. Okay? It's called So What? Now, here's what I know. Oh, I better not go there. All right, so. The government has nothing to do with your bank account. And even if they take it, if you get this stuff worked out, you go make more. Doesn't matter. Republicans, Democrats, blah, blah, blah. If you stay focused on these things instead of listening to Rush Limbaugh all day, and all that stuff, and I get all these websites, you know. Some of them are ignorant. You know, they're talking about what the Muslims are doing. And it's like, go read a book. You know, come on. There's so much hate and racism and prejudices. It's like, go do something positive. Why don't you go work on your success stars for a minute? See if you don't feel better about life. We don't have time for that stuff. So, words. Watch your words. This is faith. What you speak is your faith. What do you talk about? By the way, I love Stephen Covey. Stephen Covey talks about integrity. And he says that you have three lives. You have your public life, which is the life that everybody thinks you are. You have your personal life, which only your friends and family know you are. And then you have your private life that no one knows you are. And he says when what you do in public, personal, and private is all aligned, then you've come into a place of integrity. And he said, most of us don't have it. And most of us won't have it because we're not willing to pay the price. But what I'm talking about here is I'm talking about price. I'm talking about what are your thoughts in your lonely moments? What are your emotions in your lonely moments when no one else is watching you? What are your words in public, in personal, and in private? What are your actions? Do you act when people are watching, or do you act when no one's watching? That's integrity. And then your beliefs. And I'll wrap up with your beliefs, and then I'll be done. Has this been beneficial at all? I hope. We don't, you know, we don't promote our books and tapes and stuff in prepaid legal, but I do hope that you'll, if not my audio program, get a good one. Get a good one and feed yourself that positive programming all the time. Learn from someone else. I have, in my mind, a multi-million dollar library of books and audio programs and journals full of nuggets that have changed my life. And I hope that you'll make that investment. And something to think about before I go to beliefs is this. How much have you invested in your head this year? How much have you invested in your head this year? Most people spend more money on cable every month than they do on their head over a year. 65% of high school graduates will never read another book in their life from cover to cover. And there's a reason for that. I won't get into it. But I will tell you this. That if our children don't have an amazing learning experience, they will hate to learn. Like me. I hated to learn. Because I had a negative educational experience. Oh, I hated reading. If they'd have given me a book on baseball, or even younger, give me a book on robots, give me a book on time travel, oh, I would have read. But I can't even read this stuff. Now I have an appreciation for Shakespeare, now that I know how to read. But I didn't then. But feed your mind. The greatest asset you have is this amazing piece of machinery that you showed up with. And there is no limitations, by the way. Unlike computers, they can only do, 50,000 processes at the same time. Your mind is unlimited. Powerful, powerful stuff. So invest in your mind. Okay, so let's talk about beliefs. Y'all good for another 10 minutes? Beliefs. Jim Rohn talks about the 5 major pieces of the life's puzzle. Jim Rohn is my mentor, by the way. Not Jim Rohn, the sports guy. Jim Rohn, you know that guy. Blah, 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 not that guy. Jim Rohn, R-O-H-N. One of the best motivators, one of the best philosophers planet Earth has ever known. I'd put him up there with some of the greatest philosophers of olden times. He's amazing. The guy's amazing. So, instead of going through 1 through 5 like he does, I like to do it this way. And we may go a little bit longer than 10 minutes. I'm just going to warn you if you need to go, that's fine, but just bear with me. Lifestyle. Watch this. Watch this. How many of you have the ultimate lifestyle that you got it all? Show of hands. Okay? No hands up. One hand? Okay, good for you. I want to find out what you're doing. Okay, so ultimate lifestyle. So that means travel, romance, health, spirituality, relationships with your family, money, cars, tithes, you know, charities, all the things you want to do, right? You have this blissful lifestyle, everything you've ever wanted. Okay, the house in Hawaii. Okay, I'm not there yet. Far from it. I feel very blessed. Very, 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 very blessed. But Jim Rohn says this, if you can do better, should you? If you can help more people, should you? Just something to think about. So lifestyle. So we don't have the lifestyle, so what could be the problem? What is the issue? We don't have the lifestyle, so what's the problem? I don't like problem, use the word challenge. What's the challenge? Let's look at our results. How many of you are getting all the results that you want in your prepaid legal business or in life? How many of you are getting them all? Show of hands. I'm not. Okay, nobody in the room. So, we don't have the lifestyle. We've looked at our results. Maybe we don't have a lifestyle because we're not getting the results we want. Why are we not getting the results that we want? Well, let's look at our actions. How many of you are doing all the actions in your prepaid legal business that you know you should be doing? Show of hands. Okay, couple hands up. Good for you. So, almost most of us are not doing the actions that we should be doing. So maybe that's why we're not getting the results, and we don't have the results, which is probably why we don't have the lifestyle. So why can we come to these trainings? We go to our builders training every week. We go to the briefing. We know how to do it, but we still don't do it. Why do we not do it? Okay? Your attitude. I don't know if I want to go to the meeting tonight. It's the same thing every week. I already know all this stuff. I can't be taught. That's an attitude. How many people have awesome attitudes, really great attitudes, just super like a light bulb, bing, they're just everywhere they go, super excited. How many of y'all know people have negative attitudes? Show of hands, really negative. How many of y'all know people that positively have a negative attitude? I mean, positively, totally negative, right? We all know these people. So the attitude, probably your attitude about, well, I don't have to do my two-a-day every day, that's an attitude. I don't have to do my two-a-day every day. Come on. It's 12 o'clock at night. That's kind of silly. I mean, I got to draw the line somewhere. I'm not going to put my clothes back on and go to the grocery store and give somebody a... That's an attitude. And that attitude is why you're not doing the actions, which is why you're not getting the results, which is why you don't have the lifestyle. But the big question is, what is driving that attitude? And the answer is philosophy. And philosophy, another word for that is your beliefs. So let me give you some examples. I was taught that college dropouts don't do well. Everybody always said that. College dropouts don't do well. Well, you better go to college. You're not going to do well. That became a belief that was a part of me. So I didn't do well because I was a college dropout. I didn't do well. I didn't want to disappoint anybody. You know, they all had this expectation of me that college dropouts don't do well. That was a belief. Okay? I've heard people say this is a man's world. Okay, now, let's just look at the facts. 1% of the world's wealth is in a woman's name. So a woman could look at this and go, why try? This is a man's world. According to your faith. So they adopt that as a belief. It's the philosophy. It's a man's world. If your belief is it's a man's world, then as a woman, you're not going to do anything to make a contribution because after all, you won't be noticed or recognized because, in fact, this is a man's world, according to you. And here's what's scary about beliefs. Beliefs are true even if they're not true for anyone else in the world but you. If it's your belief, that is your reality. I mean, if you think that all men are scumbags, everywhere you go, you're going to see a scumbag. And you'll have proof that they're scumbags. You'll see a man hit a woman. That's what I mean, scumbag. You know, you'll see somebody, a man yelling at him, will see scumbag. They're all scumbag, whatever. You see that everywhere. It's all you can see. Because according to your faith, be it unto you. It's what you believe. See, I've learned over the years that we live in a very loving universe. The universe will only show you what you think is true. Because it's loving that way. So whatever you believe is true is what you're going to see everywhere. See, I thought college dropouts didn't do well. I couldn't see opportunity. Once I went to a seminar and realized college dropouts can do anything they want to do, once I realized that Bill Gates, Microsoft, was a college dropout, once I recognized that Steve Jobs, Apple, was a college dropout, once I realized that Mark Zuckerberg, Facebook, was a college dropout, once I understood that Michael Dell, Dell Computers, college dropout, once I realized, it was like, I've been incarcerated all these years and I blew the roof off of these silly, limiting, oppressive beliefs. And I said, I changed my belief. My belief used to be that college dropouts don't do well. Now my beliefs are college dropouts are the most successful people on planet Earth. Now you may not believe that, but I do. And if I believe it, then it's true for me. Whatever you believe is true for you. So what do you believe? If you have negative, limiting, oppressing beliefs, they will keep you incarcerated forever until you break free. So some people say this is a white world. I don't want to get into the race thing, but it's an issue. People feel like, you know, this world belongs to the white man, or it belongs to the black man, or it belongs to the whatever. According to your faith, be it unto you. It is not the case. I was listening, my wife and I were listening to something yesterday, and this guy says, it was a lady, and she was talking about how it was an African-American lady speaking to a Caucasian man. And she's talking about how her opportunities are limited because of the color of her skin. And he basically said, have you ever heard of Obama? Like, maybe you could have used that up to this point, but you can't use that anymore. He broke the barrier. President Obama, whether you like him or not, he is the Roger Bannister of the African-American world. He is the Roger. He broke the tape. He did something that nobody thought he could do. And all of us should be inspired by that. And if you're not inspired by a man breaking a barrier of hate, a barrier of oppression, if you can't be inspired by that, I erased it already, but you needed to go back and look at this section. Right? The inside, all those racism, ignorances, bigotry, all that. You got to go look at that. I'm so inspired. I didn't vote for him, but so inspired that he did it. In the 60s, different races were killing each other. And I know it still goes on today, but it's getting better. But if you believe that because you're white or because you're, you know, black or because you're a woman or because you're tall or because you're short, that your opportunities are limited, they are. Everybody got it? But if you believe that you are a child of God, and you don't have to accept this if you want to, don't want to accept it. But here's my belief. I am a child of God. I am His unique creation. There is none like me, never been any before me, never be any after me. I have been endowed by the Creator of all that is and ever will be to become successful. I have been given the responsibility to help myself and others enjoy an amazing life. That's who I am. My question for you is, who are you? Who are you? What are you? Because whatever it is, so you shall be. And everything we've talked about today, I mean, everything I do and everything I've done for the last 11 years has been to fix all this garbage in my own life and to do my best to help as many people as I can fix all that garbage in their life. Get it out, get the good stuff in. Whatever it is that you believe in, just think about, what are some beliefs? What are some philosophies? What did y'all hear when you were young? Let me give you an example to get you going. Money don't grow on trees. Okay? Yes, it does. I built my own website. And in less than an hour, I had made $1,000 in a new business selling a product that I had not yet developed. Growing on trees is too slow. There is so all money is energy. You come into a harmonious vibration with that energy, and all the money you want is yours. The only reason I don't have more money in my life is because I'm not in a harmonious vibration with larger numbers. Why? Because of my belief. Because I was born and raised in Benbrook, Texas, and kids from Benbrook, Texas don't do well in life. And I'm fighting the battle of my life, even now, to break into the bigger numbers. I want seven figures to be my minimum wage. I want to make $1 million a year minimum. Okay? Minimum. I want that to be the absolute bare minimum that I ever make for the rest of my life. But it hasn't happened yet. Why? Because of my beliefs. I struggle with this. And so do you. We all have a thermostat on our success. What's yours been set at? It's called the success set point. It works like set point. You remember in health and science, they taught you about set point, right? Mine is 195 pounds. We all have a set point. And as long as you're not eating tons and exercising tons, if you're just living your life, you're going to be at about that set point. I'm at 195. At night, I might be 197. In the morning, I might be 193. But I'm about 195. The same thing is happening because what happens is that thermostat kicks in when you get up to 200. Thermostat says, whoa, this isn't where you're supposed to be. Brings you right back to 195 pounds. It's built in. It's called your subconscious mind. Your subconscious mind has one major job, and that is self-preservation. Your subconscious mind is trying to protect you. If you have a belief that you are a scumbag, and you have a goal that you're making big money, when you start approaching big money, your subconscious mind will sabotage you, saying, whoa, no, you're a scumbag. You're not supposed to have big money. You're not supposed to do well. You're not supposed to have integrity. You're not supposed to have good health. You're not supposed to be trim and in shape. You're not supposed to have love in your life. You're a scumbag. And it will cause you to miss the meeting, not make the phone call, not go out on the date, not do your two exposures a day. Your subconscious mind is so powerful. We all think that we're in control of our lives, that I want to get my ring, I'm going to go get my ring, and you think you can just do that? But you can't, because you're battling 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years of programming. This is why personal development is so critical, because we want to change your programming. We want to change your philosophy. We want to change your belief about yourself. If we can change your belief about yourself, then you're going to have a better attitude about doing the things you need to do, and you're actually going to do them, which is going to bring the results that you want, and you're going to have the ultimate lifestyle. It all comes back to what it is that you believe. Hard work is the secret to success. True or false? Absolutely false. You ever seen somebody roof houses? You ever seen migrant workers picking cabbage? That's what you call hard work. Picking cotton. Some of the hardest work you'll ever do in your life. You can't pick a ball of cotton without bloodying your knuckles. That's hard work. That does not equate success. Is hard work a part of success? Certainly. Is hard work the secret to success? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. These are beliefs that are limiting. You can't teach an old dog new tricks. I've had older associates go, well, you're young and you're pliable. I've kind of set in my ways. Yes, you are. How's that working for you? Maybe you should consider a change. Maybe you should consider being coachable and teachable. Well, I don't know if you know the science, young man, but, I have got a degree in whatever. And, there's neuropathways, and my neuropathways, they're set. I do things a certain way. Okay. How's that working for you? Well, I'm struggling a little bit, but, nothing I can't handle. All right. Well, if you want to live like that, that's fine. See, you see how these philosophies, y'all know any others? Okay, you can be anything you want. Successful people do what unsuccessful people are not willing to do. Shoot for the stars, okay, if you land among the moon or whatever that saying is. Let me share two that were really powerful. I was speaking with somebody earlier today who told me about a belief that he did not know he had until 3 o'clock in the morning last night. And he said at 3 o'clock in the morning he had a memory of his father telling him, "You'll never do better than me." And that, coming from a man that he loved, that he adored, someone who was supposed to protect him and provide for him, that has incarcerated him his entire life. Because every time he gets closer to doing better than dad, that belief pulls him back. Don't do better than your dad. I know your dad has passed on, but that will be so disrespectful. Your dad loved you. He told you you'll never do better than him. Don't you ever do better than him. Don't you ever dishonor your father like that. You guys see how powerful this is? This is why abused children have a really hard time. My dad brainwashed me to be successful. Did y'all know that? Actually, people look at we're the most successful family in the history of prepaid legal. The Hughes family. We are the most successful family in the history of prepaid legal. All six siblings. And I'm going to tell you why that is. All six siblings have hit executive director. Mike Hughes went silver executive director. Dave, Jeff, Tony, Chris, all platinums. Tony Hughes, $250,000 a year, millionaire club member, platinum plus jacket earner. Chris Hughes, $250,000 a year, platinum plus jacket earner, millionaire club member. David Hughes, platinum jacket earner, $100,000 a year, and about $2,000 more. He needs $2,000 more. And he'll be our next Millionaire Club member in our family, 3 Millionaire Club members in one family. And then Mike like I said, as a silver executive director, my little sister hit ED. They're not currently qualified. But so people look at that, and they go, man, how did you guys do it? Let me tell you how we did it. Because my dad, from the time I was this big, told me, when you grow up, you will be rich and successful so that when I'm old and poor, you can take care of me. And it wasn't a maybe. And as a little kid, I must have made a decision. I accepted that as truth for me, that I, Chris Hughes, would become rich and successful so that I could, if needed, take care of my father when he was old and poor. So, you know, and I had a lot of limiting beliefs, but that was one that was great. I'm so glad my dad read the book Psycho Cybernetics that was written in the 60s. Because as a little kid, my dad used to always say, what the mind of man can conceive and believe, he can achieve. That was Maxwell Waltz quoting Napoleon Hill. Napoleon Hill's book was written, I think, in the 40s. But as what the mind of man can conceive and believe, it can achieve. And I remember asking my dad, and I'm wrapping up. I remember asking my dad, Dad, do you think it's possible that we could live on the moon? And without hesitating, he said, absolutely. And I said, wow, how could you be so positive? And you won't believe what he told me. You want to hear what he told me? I said, how could you be so positive and not even have to think about that? How could you just know that? And he said, because you thought of it. You get it? Because you thought of it. I'm a little kid. What do you mean? What do you mean because I thought of it? He said, well, son, if you can conjure it up, if you can conceive it, conception, right? Conceive it, just see it creating in your mind. If you can see it and you believe it, you can achieve it. Well, do you think we could live on, you know, and I made up some planet, Jupiter? Or, son, yes. If you can conceive it and believe it, you can achieve it. It might take us many, many, you know, years or decades or whatever to get there, but it's absolutely possible. And my last thing I want to leave with you is this. This is my belief. If it conflicts with yours, just, you got to figure this out, okay? But this is my belief. You can have it all. You can have it all. You can have self-respect, respect from your peers and others, your family. You can have health. You can have relationships. You can have romance. You can have the trappings of success, the finer things of life. You can have it all. I look at my life and the things that we've been able to do in our life, and I'm just a baby in this whole thing. I'm, you know, just still trying to figure it all out myself. We have just an amazingly unique lifestyle, and I wish that for every single one of you. My wife and I have three sons. And I was there, of course, at all their births. And, you know, you really should take some time after your children are born to bond with them. So we took about a year. Just hold the baby, do what you want to do. And what a beautiful thing. We're going to have our fourth baby, our first girl, in about 3 weeks. We're so excited. And here's what I plan on doing. I just plan on holding her for a long time. And I don't have to call anyone. I don't have to call the boss and say, hey, we got this little angel, and I'd really like to just stay home today or this week or this month, and I just really want to hold her. We don't have to ask for permission. We don't have to ask for time off. We do what we want to do. And I came down the hill to tell you that you can do what you want to do. And in the end, it's your choice. So I want to thank you for listening and honoring me with your time, and God bless you. You guys, come on up, Mr. Burns. Can you stay here? I'm going to promote it just a second. Okay. Thank you. You guys, thank you. Thank you. I failed to do one thing, and I want to turn the time over to Mr. Ryan Burns, but please be seated, and thank you for honoring me with your time, and I honor all of you that are here. Here's what I want to do. Please don't leave. This is the most important part. My brother Jeff is going to be here in 2 weeks, yes? 2 or 3 weeks? 3 weeks? I'm telling you, you are going to love his training. It'll be one of the best trainings you've ever had. Now, if they buy 5, is there a discount? Okay, if you buy 4 tickets, you get 1 for free. Here's my last 1-minute training. Here's what I want you all to do. Here's you. Get a ticket for you. I want you to find at least one person in every leg to get a ticket to. One person in every leg to get a ticket to. Just trust me on this. And I know I'm not supposed to say trust me, but I said it anyway. 1, 2, 3, 4. Get 4 tickets. And I learned this from some of the best mentors in the business, that the reason why you don't have more people at these Super Saturdays is because you have no skin in the game. You got 1 ticket for you. But if you have 3 more tickets in your pocket, burning a hole, and you paid for them, do you think you're going to show up here alone? And then some people go, well, I don't have any team. I don't want to waste the $30. No, then you definitely need to buy 4 tickets. Because if you have 3 tickets in your pocket, burning a hole in your pocket, and you have no team, you have 3 weeks to place those tickets in 3 people's hands. And even worst case scenario, if it's 3 guests, let them come out and get some training from a very, very unique trainer. I want to challenge you all. To me, this is, remember we talked about action? According to your faith, be it unto you. Remember, faith is what you speak, it's what you feel, it's what you think, it's what you believe, and it's what you do. I did this as often as I could in the early days of my business because I wanted to show my faith, and I want to challenge you all to do this. And how much money do you think I make off of these tickets? 0. So why am I doing a pitch at the very close of this presentation? Because this is what I did in the early days. I put skin in the game that I didn't have. I made sacrifices that I wasn't even sure I should make. And you get these tickets, you place these tickets over the next 3 weeks, and do that for the next Super Saturday. And then do that for the next Super Saturday, and you will be stunned at how quickly your organization can grow. So when we get done, they're right back there at that table. They're going to be outside. They're going to be outside. Make sure that you get your tickets. And I want Mr. Ryan Burns to wrap up. Family, 6-figure ring earner, platinum executive director, Mr. Ryan Burns. Thank you so much.
When Chris Hughes agreed to come down here and do our Super Saturday, I've had a lot of people on my team get his audio set. He can't pitch it, but we actually asked him that he would at least have a couple available, in the back of the room. I know that they normally are selling for $67. They're actually going to be $47 if you guys want to get a CD set. I had people that were asking me if they could drive to Heber to go pick Mr. Hughes and Mrs. Hughes up so that they could have 45 minutes here to talk to him and 45 minutes back. You know, some people are like, I don't want to drive 5 minutes to go pick somebody up. I want to just get there, right? But that's the type of influence of anybody who's had a chance to be around him. I know that a lot of our executive directors and people who drove down to Oklahoma, they wore these things out. They listened to him over and over and over. And just the training, the value of going to pick Mr. Hughes up and driving him here would have been great. But now you can have his best stuff just packed up. So we really appreciate you, allowing us to have the opportunity to get these things. So I know we don't have many, I don't know if we gave him a chance to even make any more, but I know that they were able to bring some, and you guys can also get those. They're outside in the back. Now, real quickly, we do have a few things for Mr. Hughes. I'm sorry to make you walk all the way up to the front of the room, Mr. Hughes, but if you can come back up and everybody give it up for Regional Manager, Mr. Mark Beauty.
It's me again.
Guys, I know my scene. I got this when it first was available. I've listened to it 8 times since then. It's worth your time.
Cool, thanks.
Over and over and over, it's worth your time. As you all know, he just recently moved back to Utah, not just a few months ago.
It's been eight.
Crazy. 8 months, okay. But Mr. Hall, at Beans, as he's out of town, said, Mr. Hughes has got tickets to BYU. Season tickets, if I understand correctly.
He bought season tickets, yes. When in Rome.
He's excited about what's going on. So Mr. Hall said, you know what, we need to help him be supportive of BYU and be able to go in there and be everything that it is with that. So we ended up going down and picking up.
Oh, that's what I thought was coming. I thought a big red shirt was getting ready to come out of there.
No, what we have
nice.
Is for the whole family.
Oh.
Oh. We have a shirt for Mr. Hughes.
Thank you.
A pretty bling shirt.
Nice. Guys, check that out. Is she out there? She's sweet. Yes. After the baby, yes. I'm sure.
And then for each of your boys.
Oh, thank you so much.
Well.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate that.
So one more time, give it up for Mr. Chris Hughes.
Thank you.
Don't forget to get your tickets. Five of them for the price of four.
Thank you. We're done. Bye-bye. Thank you. Thanks, guys.